If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Three, two, one, burp.
It ain't natural.
Did you hear that?
Spectacular. Just spectacular.
Is that so he doesn't? Are you a regular duck fan? You watch all the time, him?
Okay, well, let me just say that I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate your concern, all right? Your thoughts are very well organized, presented clearly and concisely. But bear with me. Are you mental?
Hey, everybody. What's up with Kevin? I've been a big fan, long time, him.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Well, the call letters are new. I can understand why you'd have trouble with some of the letters.
I just had a stroke. Don't mock me.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
And boom goes the dynamite.
And now.
Good morning, window lickers. Let's get this motherfucking party started.
Our feature presentation.
That is one hot robot right there, I'll tell you.
You don't have to tell me, man.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:30, and it is Tuesday, the 23rd of Rocktober.
When I'm running things, when I get elected.
I'm sorry, when's that going to be?
I'm not sure. I haven't decided what year I'm going to run. Right. I'm going to move the weather around. I'm going to like take some of the rain out of, say, Louisiana and move it to Southern California.
You have my vote.
Even things out a little bit. Makes a little more sense than the way that guy's doing it now, whoever's in charge now. Just seems to be just willy-nilly, just throwing heat over here and rain over there and dry over here and earthquakes over there. I mean, you move this stuff around.
So you're not saying you're going to run for president. You're going to run for God.
Whatever it is. Whatever job is in charge of the weather. That's the job that I think I need to have. Because clearly the guy now is mismanaging it.
Yeah.
It's an abuse of authority right now.
I don't think rain is necessarily used just to put out fires.
But how great
would it be? Nice, yeah.
How great would 6 inches of rain be today?
Oh, that would be nice.
That's what you need.
That would be a miracle.
Yeah, no kidding.
Would be.
Yeah. I would be a believer if that happened.
The only problem with 6 inches is the fires would go out, but all of us would get in accidents. Every one of us.
Well,
at this point, it would be worth it.
100%.
I don't remember where it was. There's been so much news about fires. I don't remember where it was I saw it, but somewhere yesterday they were doing a rain dance. They actually did bring in the Indians and the whole deal. They were doing a rain dance. They were trying to get it going.
There are people that still believe that?
Yes.
Maybe it's just last-ditch effort at this point. Why not?
Why not, I guess. Yeah. But
I should talk to my friend Tonto, my Indian friend who knows stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I should talk to him
and find
out what kind of experience he has with the rain dances.
That worked out well last time.
When we talked to him?
We got some good information from that guy.
Yeah, he doesn't know anything. But Bean,
what are you talking about? What story are you thinking of, Mike?
Well, last time we tried to talk to him, and you thought he knew special things because
he does know special stuff. But we never talked to him on the air.
No, we never did.
But you were our liaison, and it didn't seem that he knew crap.
You keep saying he knows stuff, but then
he does know stuff.
Well, okay. Like what?
Well, he won't tell Bean.
Give us the business.
Yeah.
He only
tells me Indian stuff, though. I mean, he won't tell me the Indian stuff. He doesn't tell me the hardcore Indian stuff. Because he looks at me, I'm the white devil. I'm the guy who gave his kids smallpox and a blanket. He's not going to share the deep inside stuff with me.
Well, he knows stuff, though.
It is, yeah. It's smallpox in a blanket.
That's awesome.
He knows so much special stuff. Why is he working on your frames for like $4 an hour?
Because he owns the place and he does a lot of real good high end stuff. He's a craftsman. I mean, he's very proud of what he does.
Right,
he's
his art. How do you know he knows things? Where did that come from?
He's one of those guys. You know how you see the Indians in the movies and you can tell they know stuff just because of. You can look at them.
I don't know what you're talking about.
They totally know stuff.
You just look at him and you go, that guy knows stuff?
No, he's just wise and serene. He tells you just enough to make you realize that he's smarter than you are and is plugged into with a deeper connection to the earth and the sky and the God than you are.
Bean gets all his information from like classic movies.
He does, yeah.
You've been watching Rio Bravo where like the Indian knows he's going to die. He has like the foresight, so he goes up to the top of a mountain to die in peace. And then he thinks, wow, that guy's really...
Well,
that
the guy's really got he's got a sweat lodge in his frame store. I mean, that tells you something. But the time I walked in, remember, and he had the old Indian ladies, and they all had their eyes closed, and they were all chanting, and, there was some sort of incense burning. I mean, there's some sort of ceremony going on. I don't know whether it's cleansing or healing or something, but this dude he's tapped in.
Well, let's get him on the horn, for God's sakes, if he can make that happen.
I don't know if I can. I hate to burn that bridge with this ugliness of this show, I'll tell you.
What are you talking about?
You take a chance.
Just want to
know. You do take a chance.
Just want to see what he knows.
Kevin's
going to
ask one of his insightful questions.
How dare you?
So, do you chant like Spicoli?
How dare you?
Stop stuff? Yeah.
Well, all I'm saying is if you've been watching the news or looking outside, perhaps a little rain dance is not something we ought to be poo-pooing today. I'm just saying it can't hurt at this point.
I mean, agree.
It'd be nice. That's
I'm just saying I wish it would help. That would be awesome. We could all do it.
How hot is it at your house right now, Kevin?
It's pretty warm. It was shockingly warm when I walked out of the house.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is actually, I mean, usually it's cool in the morning. I don't know what the temperature is, but.
It's getting to be like it was in the summer where it wasn't cooling off at night. And so the temperatures keep going up during the day.
Yeah, pretty
so
weird.
It's going to be out at 110 at Kevin's house today.
Excellent. I just wonder what all these, you know, all these, I don't know much about how it works with all these fires. I mean, they're burning everywhere. And all that stuff goes up into the atmosphere, and does it keep all the heat in? Is this actually affecting the weather right now because there's so much smoke in the air?
That I don't know.
I do not know. That's a good question. Well, why don't you ask your Indian friend? He knows.
He's not a meteorologist. He's a shaman.
He knows stuff. He's a what?
A shaman. Is that what they're called?
I don't know. What's a shaman?
Yeah, I think so. Like a medicine man, kind of. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So the problem with the fires, too, is you turn on the news and you go, well, these have been burning for days. You know, there's Canyon Country fires on Channel 4 right now. And then you see 0% containment. And you go, well, that's just burning out of control then. That's just going full speed.
You think 0% is not good?
Well,
I'm
saying usually by this point in a fire, they've got, you know, they got their arms around it a little bit. But they got no chance against some of these.
I learned something from my fireman buddy yesterday that they really want them to merge all these separate fires. I would have thought that would be the last thing they'd want. They're hoping like the Agua Dulce and the
because if
the
they meet, they burn each other
exactly.
out.
Exactly. You don't have to contain separate entities. You just one big body, and so they're like praying that they can somehow, you know, meet in the middle.
That sounds sketchy to me.
I'm dead 100%.
Why does that sound sketchy?
I don't know, because of what it has to burn through to get to the other fire, of the land between A and B.
I would have thought the same thing, and I'm telling you that's from a very reliable source. Call in if you're a fireman. I'm telling you, they're like really pushing, hoping that three or four of these fires that are, you know, pretty close in proximity actually do merge so that they can, instead of, like you said, containing separate bodies, they can just make containment around one big fire.
You said they're really pushing. What do they push exactly?
No, you know what I meant. You know, like they're rooting for it.
They're doing fire dances.
High five! Yes! Two of them merge. High five.
I just can't believe when I turned on the news this morning how many more fires there were than when I left here yesterday.
Yeah, I know. It's bizarre.
It's shocking.
It is bizarre. It seems like there's a fire everywhere.
There is. And the other problem is nobody's getting help with the fires because everybody locally is fighting their own fires.
Yeah. So, it's not great. But Bean won't talk to his Indian friend.
Yeah,
doesn't want to do
that
it.
That help, Bean.
I will tell you, though, that if we have any kind of scandal that's brewing that we've been dreading to get out, today's the day. We got to somehow release it.
I mean, because it'll disappear. There will be no news.
Sluggo killed another guy or something. Let's just put out a press release. Just say, hey, K-Rock here. Just wanted to remind you, Sluggo killed another dude. And then, boom, it's gone, right? Because nobody's going to cover that. They're doing 100% fire coverage.
Yeah,
that's true.
Right.
I'll have to go through our closets and see if there's something that we need to let out.
Got to be some confession we've got to make.
Let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
We are going to talk to Dave Gahan in about a half hour.
About that?
Just after 6 o'clock, talking about the new CD he's got out.
Very cool.
So that's coming up this morning. We have tickets for you to go to the K-Rock Creep Show this Saturday night with Serge Tankian. Mm-hmm. We're going to do that in the 6 o'clock hour. And we're also going to talk to Bob Turr, who is a helicopter reporter on the MSNBC special Why They Run, which is about car chase.
Great.
Car chases and the people who are in them. So I'm looking forward to that. Tobin Bell on the program today from Saw 4.
Do you want to play a game?
Kevin, it's not Cookie Monster. It's Tobin Bell we have on.
I know, but that's the best I can do. And in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to do Ask a Muslim.
Finally.
Yes.
In our continuing series, we did Ask a Cop last time, I think.
Ask a whore.
Ask a whore.
Yeah.
Ask a gay.
DJ Omar Khan.
He fits in Ask a Gay and Ask a Muslim. So anyway, we're going to do that in the 7 o'clock hour. We have the religious director of the Orange County Islamic Foundation, Sheikh Yasser Fazaga.
Wow.
He's going to be in the studio, and we're going to do Ask a Muslim.
This is very official.
I know, it does.
And I'm going to start with asking if the sheik arrived on a camel, because I don't know much about sheiks, but all the ones on the movies do.
This is going to go well, then. I'm looking
now
forward to that.
Kevin.
Yes, no, that's good.
Plus, we got tickets for you to win for the K-Rock Creep Show, which is our big Halloween bash this Saturday night at the House of Blues Sunset with Serge Tankian, already sold out. Hey, way to go, Street Team members.
Nice.
But you can win your tickets all this week on K-Rock, including next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Kramer, what's going on?
Greedy effing bastards. Street
Team. No kidding.
Take everything. You know, F the other people. Racism, man. It's racism.
I'm not sure.
I don't think it's racism.
It is. They're biased against non-streeters.
Well, that could be, yeah.
That's what it is.
But it is free to join the street team, Ralph. It's not an exclusive club. Anyone can get in.
Just like a streeter like you would want people to believe. Oh, you can pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. Oh, you can have the same opportunities we have. Lies. The street team keeping us down, man.
They got their foot on your neck?
Yeah.
That's what's happening right here?
Yeah. I'm going to start the National Association of Non-Street Team People organization.
All right. Good.
Get Al Sharpton to start working for us.
Good luck.
Hey, fire blows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really.
Here's the thing about natural disasters. They are truly the great equalizer. Because even in the world of showbiz, celebrities, rich and famous people are taking it in the shorts just like everybody else.
Well, let's hear the list and then decide who we're sad about.
No, there's some good people who are hurting right now. A lot of celebrities have their homes dangerously close to the forest fire lines. Mel Gibson in danger of losing his home, of course, legendary Malibu resident. Bet he doesn't call the firemen effing Jews.
I bet you're right about that.
He's kissing some Jewish fireman ass right now. Goldie Hawn in danger of losing her home. Of course, Kurt Russell also sharing that home with her. Tom Hanks.
Oh.
Pamela Anderson. Jim Carrey, Diana Ross, Kelsey Grammer, Courtney Cox and David Arquette. Olivia Newton-John. If she hasn't had enough tragedy in her life, her boyfriend pretending to be dead instead of hanging out with her. James Cameron, the legendary director. Cindy Crawford, you don't want to see her cry.
No.
Jennifer Aniston has a wooden beachfront home. Excellent idea if you're living in the Malibu Canyons, by the way, where there's a lot of fires. Get yourself a wooden house. Why don't you give one a straw, too, just in case a big bad wolf stops by.
Why don't you build a house of gasoline while you're at it,
dumbass? And Sean Penn, apparently in danger of losing his house. So maybe we can talk to him again, and Kemi can ask him how his house is doing.
Yeah.
He'd probably be up for it.
You could go in all comedy with that fire if you were Spicoli putting out the fire.
I'd like to give Kevin some credit from one of the K-Rock listeners who wrote in to defend him, an email to defend Kevin's interview with Sean Penn this morning, Ralph, congratulating him for not bringing up Sean Penn's dead brother.
Yeah, I don't know how he missed that.
How did you miss Chris Penn? Come on.
Hey, how's your brother Chris doing?
What?
How dare you.
We didn't mention this. It came out over the weekend. Pretty big story if you're a Harry Potter fan, but apparently J.K. Rowling last Friday night in a Q&A session at New York City's Carnegie Hall admitted that Aldous Dumbledore, head of Hogwarts, is in fact gay.
I hate gay people, so, you know, I let it be known. Oh, I don't like gay people. I don't like to be around gay people.
Come on.
She is really just poking the right with a stick, isn't she?
Well, there's a lot of the religious writer don't like her books anyway because it deals with witchcraft.
Exactly.
So now she is, she's giving them another reason to hate her, quite frankly.
That boy gayed in a handbag full of rainbows.
However, there is some evidence to that fact. If you look back over the books, I have not read them, but apparently fans who have said they always thought it was odd that there was no mention of him ever having a significant love in his life.
True.
In terms of women or being in a relationship with anyone.
He kept calling Harry into his apartment by himself.
Word.
That happened a lot.
Apparently his backstory is that Dumbledore fell in love with his brilliant friend Gellert Grindelwald.
Oh, that went bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gellert apparently became a dark wizard who Dumbledore had to defeat, but he was in love with them, and that crushed his spirit, and he never had the heart to go on with another relationship.
Makes sense.
This guy's a fruit!
Gellert apparently became a powerful dark wizard with an enormous wand. That's why Dumbledore was so infatuated. See, when I say wand...
Yeah,
speaking of the listener, listener...
The magic wand?
Can connect the dots there.
Seems kind of gay.
Speaking of magic, David Copperfield keeps getting into a bigger and bigger mess.
What is this story?
Here's the story, Kevin. The FBI raided his huge warehouse in Los Angeles and in Vegas.
I don't think you ever want the FBI involved in your life.
No. You don't want them poking around your magic tricks.
No.
Ever. Here's the thing. There is a woman that is accusing him of sexual misconduct.
Okay.
Apparently, he raped the bitch on TV.
That didn't happen.
What?
Nope, didn't happen.
She says it occurred in July of this year in the Bahamas. I just thought what happened in the Bahamas stayed in the Bahamas.
How... What information does she have that they might find in a warehouse full of his stuff?
I think he cut her in half.
Is that right?
And then while she was separated, he diddled one end. That's what I'm guessing. While she couldn't do anything about it, her arms are in head are in one box.
Right.
Meanwhile, the juicy bits are in another box.
Hmm. And then when he was done, he put them back together?
He got his magic wand out.
Huh.
And you see, when I say magic
wand...
Wait,
he does magic?
You, the listener.
No, there's a theme running through here. No, but Kevin's right. If you have sex in the Bahamas, what's in the warehouse in Las Vegas? I don't get that either.
Look, who am I? Fox Mulder?
Well,
I don't know. I don't
work
for the FBI. They won't tell us what they're looking for. We just know it's related to the sexual misconduct. And yesterday, his management sent out a press release saying he is canceling all his upcoming engagements, including a tour of Southeast Asia. And all the dates will be indefinitely postponed until this mess is resolved one way or the other. So if you have tickets for the David Copperfield show in Paigao, you are horked.
Who smells a large check being written this week?
Well, he's got the checks
depending,
to write.
Yeah.
That's
right. Sure.
Maybe that would go away. More magic showbiz news.
Wow.
Got a lot of magic showbiz news today. Chris Angel's finally breaking his silence about his involvement with Britney Spears and her disastrous appearance at the VMAs earlier this year.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag, the douchiest of all.
Chris Sarantakis said that he and Ms. Spears were supposed to work on a memorable magic routine for the show.
It was memorable.
But he claims when they started the work, Britney wasn't motivated to put in the dedication, work, and hard effort it takes to make it happen. So he told her if she didn't feel it, go do something else. She did.
Before or after they had sex?
He doesn't mention that part. In my opinion, the results of her performance were much more magical than anything he could have put together.
No kidding.
I was moved.
She was a zombie.
Yeah, pretty spectacular.
She didn't look like she sure didn't want to be there. I mean, if she didn't want to do a simple dance routine, I can imagine that she wasn't willing to put in the time to do an actual magic trick.
Apparently, Chris told her not to be a sucker.
Did he?
And then just moved on. Here's a new relationship that you may be surprised by. According to MediaTakeOut.com, entertainment news website, Vince Vaughn is now dating Vanessa Williams.
Oh, man.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
What?
That's a pretty good score for Vince Vaughn. Have you seen her lately?
No kidding.
It's way
good. The Miss America one?
The Ugly Betty one?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does he hook up with her?
I don't know, but she's diabolical.
He's Vince Vaughn.
I guess so, but have you seen him lately?
He's never.
He's not aging well, Vince.
No. He's never looked good, I thought.
Really?
He always looks 15 years older than he is.
Back in the swingers days, the girls were crazy about him. You know,
he was
pretty stylish and pretty good looking young dude, and now he's just Fred Claus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he is. Now, she and Laker Rick Fox, they're divorced now, right?
They are, sir. In fact, sources say Vanessa has been keeping this relationship under wraps because she feels that her marriage to Rick Fox was ruined by so much media attention. So you probably won't see them out and about anytime soon in front of the paparazzi. But rumor is that they are indeed a couple. So take that for what it's worth. Speaking of that, Fred Claus, have you seen the cast in this movie about freaking Santa Claus and his brother?
Yeah, I see Paul Giamatti's in it, who I love.
Giamatti plays Santa Claus, which is amazing.
Where was Tim Allen, by the way?
Yeah, right.
What happened?
They had a lock on that part. You got Vince Vaughn, who usually does pretty high-end stuff.
Sure.
Then you got Kevin Spacey.
Oh, I didn't
also
know
in
that.
The cast.
I didn't know he was in it.
Yeah.
What's he play?
I think he plays Santa's lawyer or something. Yeah.
Okay.
So, pretty high-end cast for a goofy holiday comedy. If you're a fan of The Office, you may be noticing that this season, Pam, the receptionist, has a pretty odd wardrobe.
Boobs.
She is wearing pretty much slouchy pants and sweats and big, bulky sweaters. That's because she's still recovering from that fall where she broke her back when she fell down a flight of stairs last May.
Oh, right.
And so she's still wearing a whole bunch of restrictive gear under her clothing to kind of support her back. So the costumers are having a hard time putting her in her usual boob revealing outfits because
I thought it was weird she was wearing a burqa last week.
That
That's
was a
strange.
Lot. Pam turns Muslim. Apparently, she says she's feeling better, though. She's starting to hike on a regular basis for exercise. And she said she'd like to milk this situation, though. Lounge around, watch TV, and eat ding-dongs for as long as possible. So, good for you, Jenna Fisher.
And when she says, eat ding-dongs.
Hey, what the? But you and I. Maroon 5's Adam Levine is having sex with another hot chick.
That guy gets them all.
According to Us Weekly magazine, he is seeing a waitress now named Becky Genos, who is a former hostess at the Nine Steakhouse in Las Vegas.
Bet she's not ugly.
No, she is not. I've seen the photos, and she's doing all right by herself. So, once again, let's give some love to Maroon 5, shall we? And if you bought yourself a copy of the Transformers DVD last week...
I did, what?
You are not alone.
No,
it doesn't have...
I thought they were coming out with something else this week.
It's not infected with a staph infection or anything. No, you're okay.
That's psycho, Mike.
It is by far the fastest selling DVD of the year. So far in the first week, it has sold 8.3 million copies.
Oh, 8 million copies.
So you are not alone, Kevin, if you purchased a Transformers DVD. It is a smash hit on DVD, one of the highest, fastest selling DVDs of all time.
It is one of Kevin's 10 favorite movies ever made, Ralph.
Yes, it is.
It is, as a matter of fact.
Until he sees 10 more movies, and then all those movies get bumped right off the list.
Then we'll be having this conversation by Christmas. Kevin, you remember Transformers? Mm. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't think I saw it.
I don't remember it.
What am I supposed to do?
Pick it all angry.
And then we'll say, Kevin, you have the DVD at home. And then he'll say, that's old. I don't like old movies. I don't watch old movies.
By the way, I forgot to mention, speaking of movies, that I saw Things We Lost in the Fire.
Somebody
was talking about.
Yeah,
that's not funny. That's not funny, Kevin. What? Real people are suffering.
No, I'm talking about
the
movie.
Oh,
that was awesome.
Really,
it was really, really well done. Yeah,
that had nothing
Halle
blown
Berry?
Up.
Yes, Halle Berry was great.
Yeah,
and the ugly dude that everyone thinks is sexy,
Benicio
del Toro.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, really, really good.
I'm glad to hear it.
I'm just getting a little worried about our Kevin.
What are you talking about?
You went to see Into the Wild.
I know.
Liked that.
Yeah. Yep.
Things We Lost in the Fire, another movie where people just basically talk.
Look,
you like that?
I think he's growing up a little.
No.
Let's talk about him like he's not here.
The word fire's in the title.
That's true. He was just walking by the Cineplex. I got to see that.
But, Kevin, I agree with Ralph. I'm concerned, too. Where's the comebacks? I mean, that's what we're expecting from you. You're our comebacks guy.
I showed up at the theater just randomly, and I just said, the comeback's not for 45 minutes, so I better go see something that starts now.
That was B.
Oh, that was B.
Yeah,
that's right.
And speaking of movies, Leonardo DiCaprio is once again teaming up with legendary director Marty Scorsese. They're doing another film together. Good things happen when these two work together.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I loved Me the Aviator. That movie they did about Howard Hughes.
I think I saw that.
Oh, that's a good one. It's long, but it's really good.
I have a clip from the
Aviator. An old guy.
I have a clip. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Aviator.
Yeah!
That wasn't it. Here it is.
Why are you so harsh with me? Because you need it. Isn't it enough for you to know that I love you more than I've ever loved anyone? That I will always love you?
You know I'm very fond of you.
You love me?
What?
Yes.
Not the Aviator, Kevin. That's a different movie.
Yeah!
That's not it?
No, I don't think that's it.
What's with the poll?
Scorsese and DiCaprio also, of course, teamed up for The Departed, Gangs of New York, and now they will reteam early next year on Shutter Island.
Shutter Island.
It is an adaptation of a Dennis Lehane novel, which apparently was a big smash hit, so the two will be working together on that. Okay. I thought where Bean lived.
Shutter Island.
That's Shut-In Island. I'm sorry. My bad.
Very different.
I keep forgetting. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ang Lee.
Hi!
Hey!
Director of The Hulk. Yeah, I did good work with that. They remade it about 8 minutes after he filmed his version. They made a new version coming out this year. He is 53 years old today. Weird Al Yankovic.
Yes. They see me mowing my front lawn.
The great Weird Al was just here on Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Couldn't have been more fun.
Yes, could not have been more wigged out by how much you love him, too, by the way.
Yeah, he was freaked.
Seemed very discomforted by that. He is 48 years old today. Robert Trujillo from Metallica and Suicidal Tendencies is 43 years old today. Ryan Reynolds,
The legendary Van Wilder in Van Wilder is 31 years old today. And Dwight Yoakam.
Yes.
Country singer who may has written and recorded the only country song I've ever liked.
Really?
Which one?
Yeah. Guitars and Cadillacs.
Because you hate country.
I know.
Hillbilly
I
music.
Like that song?
But that song, for some reason, I find it endlessly catchy and entertaining. Huh. I don't know why.
I don't know that one.
Great song. Dwight has a brand new album in stores today, by the way.
What?
Yes.
What are the odds?
By coincidence.
Don't care that much.
Dwight Yoakam fans throughout the K-Rock audience, thank you, Bean.
Hey, I'm one of them.
I know. You're the one.
The only one.
Mm-hmm. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hi, this is Dave Gahn from Depeche Mode.
You got yourself a career right there.
Shame he hasn't done more songs we know, huh?
No kidding. It's the Kevin Bean Show at K-Rock. Hey, Dave, good morning.
What's that, Dave?
It's lucky I'm not ADD.
Yeah, no kidding. But we are. That's why we listen to songs that way.
Exactly.
What's up, guys?
There are very few guests on the Kevin and Bean Show that we go back as far with as Mr. Gahan, but we're always happy to catch up with him. And a special occasion today, Hourglass, new CD in stores today, DaveGahan.com, right. DepecheMode.com. How are you feeling, by the way? That's the first question we always have to ask.
I am feeling awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah? Yeah, no, I'm really good, thanks.
And why do you suppose that is? What's going on in Dave Gahan's life right now that makes things so peachy?
Life is good. You know, I just, you know, I got a record coming out that kind of happened by accident. I mean, in that, you know, Christian and Andrew and myself got together to write, as we have been for the last few years, in my little studio in New York. And within a couple of months, literally, we had this record finished. And it just sort of happened.
So you didn't sit down and say, I'd like to write a record right now. You just were jamming?
We were pretty much just jamming, and, you know, as far as that jamming goes. But, a lot of these songs were kind of, they wrote themselves in the studio while we were sort of writing, recording, producing. And we sort of, you know, we just said, let's just cut out the middleman and do it ourselves. And, you know, we finished it in there. Tony Hoffer, a friend of ours from Los Angeles there, came in to mix the album. For the last few weeks and put it all into perspective, and that was it, you know, and now it's out, and there you go.
You know, it's got to be interesting, Dave, as an artist and as a guy who's been involved in writing songs, you know, your whole adult life, you still can't get your finger around the creative process. It still is such a mystery. Sometimes you can sit and work on something for years and it's not right. Sometimes it just flows out of you like it's coming from someplace else. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, it is, and you know what? I don't know what that's about, but the more I realize, you know, you just got to show up and you know, be sort of ready, you know, be open. This stuff happens, you know, and take some risks. You know, you got to take some risks.
This stuff happens to you. If I were available and showed up and ready, nothing would happen.
Oh, it would, believe me. You do it every morning.
Yeah, well.
Now, Dave, you're a guy who, you know, even in your own lyrics on your last solo record and on this one, too, is from what I'm reading, you wear your emotions on your sleeve pretty much. Do you ever get into a situation where you're trying to express something that's, is there such a thing as too deep, too raw, too personal for you, or is anything fair game for a song?
No, it's got to be fair game. But, you know, it's come to the point with me where it's not a choice. You know, that's who I am. That's what I do. And wherever it's going to take me, you know, I'm going to sort of try and put it into the music. Because I'm finding that when I do that, it's all of us, there's like another, I don't know, layer of the onion peeled off. And I'm sort of getting to, like, who I really am and what it is I really want to do, you know, and no, it's great, you know, life is good. I just watched my daughter, you know, sort of go off on a little bus trip. She's going to the farm, farm here in New York for a few days, and I got to see her to go off, and you know, it's that's the stuff, man, that makes it all worthwhile.
Speaking of which, you're not, from what I read, you're not dying to get out on the road for a long tour again.
Not at the moment. we're actually, this week, we're doing a lot of, like, internet, live internet stuff and radio stuff. Martijn, who played bass on the Paper Monsters tour, Martijn mm-hmm. Noble, Christian's playing drums, Phil Potts doing all the keyboards and noises, Captain Kurt on keyboards and noises as well, and Graham Finn playing guitar. He played on the record, Another Irishman Here.
I wish I had a cool title like Noises.
Yeah, Noises. You
that'd
know,
be cool.
That's what it is, the atmospherics, the stuff that kind of like, you know, gives it all that kind of like atmosphere.
Dave, I've got some clips from the new CD, Hourglass. The first one we played a few minutes ago is Kingdom, and then tell us about this one. Tell me about Kingdom. What do we need
yeah.
to know?
Well, the song kind of came out of, like what you were talking about, a jam, really. It literally was Christian and Andrew plonking on the bass and with this weird, that weird sound that becomes the melody.
Right.
And the idea of the song is really like, you know, recognizing what's here right in front of your eyes and realizing it's pretty good, and the idea that you could create this, you know, world that is beyond all the fear that we're told to live in.
Right. Dave Gahan's on the phone with us. He's got a new CD out, Hourglass. Here's a song called Use You.
Yeah, and that's the complete opposite. You know, that's one of my Sybil characters. You know, and it's all part and parcel. I mean, this, you know, the album probably should have been called Sybil.
Sybil.
But
mm-hmm.
it's that part where it's like goes the opposite way of you know, just recognizing. First of all, I was pointing outside of myself at somebody else, but then, you know, realizing while I was writing that really I'm talking about myself, that
right.
a lot of the time I just want to use you, exactly.
Us, specifically?
You know, you,
okay.
yeah,
right.
whoever's there, whatever's there, you know, to make me feel better.
And here's the last clip we have time for. It's called Endless.
I am still forever and ever and ever.
Dude, I see cell phones being held up in the audience on that one, man.
Yeah. You know what? That's one of my favorites, actually, on the record. It took us a long time to... That was one of the ones that it was... Actually, the one that was a bit of a bugger. And it sort of, like, it took a while to knock it into shape. But then we found this place. And it's about, you know... again, you know, trying to get still. It's about, like, being in the moment, like, being, like, where you are now and just embracing life for what it is, whatever it is you're doing, and getting there, you know, and then, and like I said, recognizing it and like, really being there.
Here's a quick couple of sentences from the Scotsman newspaper talking about Dave Gahan's new album, Hourglass. He's on the phone with us right now. Hourglass is follow-up to the 2003 solo debut, Paper Monsters. He channels all of his anger and residual negative urges to powerful, even draining effect. It's an album of slow, grinding electronic blues, all dirty beats and filthy hollers. It sounds as though Gahan is sweating all the dark stuff out of his system. And it's great as an artist to have a place to put that dark stuff, to have something to do with it rather than just stew on it or leave it on the psychiatrist's couch. Right, Dave?
Yeah. Well, I've done all that stuff, so I've certainly been on the couch for a few years. But, yeah, and you know what? It is. You just got to get it out some way. You know, I mean, we all have that stuff, I think, like buried deep, and it's no good. It's useless. You know, so get rid of it, get it out there, and put it into something positive, into something creative. You know, I mean, I'm fortunate I get to do that. You know,
Now, you mentioned you're doing some stuff to publicize the album this week. I know you've got that Apple Store appearance today, and I think you're doing something at a Best Buy in New York City tomorrow. Will you also do some of these small venue type things out in Los Angeles in the weeks to come?
I would like to. Maybe a little bit later in the year. There's nothing planned this week, but I think it would be really great to maybe do some little surprise things out there. And if I could borrow you as well, and you could read that piece from The Scotsman everywhere, you know, everywhere we go, just before we perform.
And now Bean will read to you.
I would pay you a large sum of money.
Before Dave plays.
Well, if I could open for Dave Gahan, I'm going to do it. I got to be honest. You got it there, dude. Well, we're very excited about this new record. I mean, yeah, we're excited that you're just alive, frankly. And the fact that you're alive and happy and healthy and doing well, and you sound fantastic. You sound 25 years old on the phone today, Dave. I can't believe how great you sound. It's so good to catch up with you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate your support.
CD comes out today, Hourglass. Thank you, Dave Gahan.
Thanks.
We have Ask a Muslim coming up just after 7 o'clock. And I got to tell you, Bean and I are exactly opposite when it comes to car chases.
Yeah.
Bean does not have any time for him.
Wishes
they wouldn't cover him on TV. They drive him crazy. True. I have people call me. I have a beeper. I need to know when a car chase is on. I watch every second, and I'll TiVo it and watch it again sometimes.
Even though I get pissed when they break into a car chase instead of actual news that affects actual people who may be actually watching the TV, I do totally agree with you 100% that there needs to be a place for it. There needs to be a car chase channel because you need the follow-up, you need the interviews, you need the perspective of the people involved in covering the chase. All of that needs to be on TV, and we've been saying that for how long?
Decades, we've been saying that.
Right, yeah. Well, we're not quite there for a channel yet, but we're getting close because there is a new show called Why They Run. And apparently part one aired last week on MSNBC. Part two airs tonight, so it's not too late to get in on the magic. And we're very excited to welcome a local legend to the Kevin and Bean Show, Bob Turr. You know him probably as the most famous helicopter pilot and reporter in Southern California. Hey, Bob, welcome to K-Rock, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
The show, by the way, they're holding it to the November sweep, so it did so well in the ratings that they're actually bringing it into November, so it's going to be November.
Oh, so it's
for the rest of the exciting shows, yeah.
So tonight's not going to be part two?
No.
Okay.
But we're going to send it to you, though.
Oh, fantastic.
And we want to see part one because we heard our listeners who know we love car chases, they're the ones who tipped us off to it on MSNBC. And they said we missed a great hour of television. I guess you just had some tremendous footage and interviews on that one.
Yeah, what we did was for the very first time, we went out and found out what these people were thinking.
Right.
You know, you watch these things. What's this guy thinking? Is he going to get away from the cops? Does he think he's that deluded? Is he crazy? And so we found these guys, some in prison, some out on the street, and, asked those questions, showed them the tape, and also spoke to law enforcement. So we had a pretty good analysis. For the first time, we got to hear from the suspects.
That is what has been missing from the angle of the coverage. Now, Bob, let me ask you this, because you've seen a bunch of these interviews over the years. Knowing how car chases end 99.9% of the time, because we watch them and we see them and we see the guy pulls over and the cops jump out and they arrest the dude, why do people continue to think that they can get away? When there's a helicopter above, when you're above me and I'm in my car, why do I still think I can somehow dodge it?
You know, that's a very good question, and I finally learned the answer. Most people don't think they can run from the cops. They feel like, well, I'm screwed. I can't get any worse. I might as well try to get away, or I might as well, you know, they need some time to think, to hash it out. So that's what I'm finding. They themselves know they can't get away. You know, we had one guy, a guy named Mr. Butner, and we found him in a Missouri prison, but he was actually a famous guy out here. He drove a 7-Up truck. He stole a 7-Up truck and drove it through the streets of L.A.
So
and all the time we're trying to figure out what he's doing inside the truck. And it turns out he was, using crack cocaine, and he didn't stop because he still had crack cocaine left, and he knew the LAPD would take it away from him. So,
so you drive until it's gone.
And then he hides out. He runs for it. He hides out. And he says, it was either the tree or the dumpster, and I wasn't about to go in a dumpster. So they found him up in a tree.
I love that stuff.
Oh.
See, that's why I'm fascinated with these, because you never can see where it's going to go. A lot of times they do just get out of the car with their hands up and whatever.
Right.
But every once in a while, somebody will get out, a guy in a dress, or somebody will get out naked. All this weird stuff's going on.
What's weird?
Now, how often, I don't know if it's...
Hang on.
Yes.
I covered the greatest story. I got to tell you about this. And we'll try to include it in something. And that is, there was a guy hitchhiking on the side of the 10 freeway, completely naked, with, pretty happy, and holding a trident and a tail. And so we shot this great videotape, and then we heard our competitors are coming, so immediately, being good citizens, called the LAPD.
That's
and
nice
Santa
of you.
Monica. Yeah, we wanted to make sure that this guy got scooped up quickly before the other cameras got. but it turns out he was wearing a wetsuit and he had a plastic device strapped on and a trident, and he was making a student film. So, I mean, I'm never
That's
surprised
funny.
About what we hear, you know, and what we see.
Huh. This is Bob Turr on the line, the helicopter pilot and reporter. We're talking about Why They Run, which will be airing pretty soon on MSNBC. You definitely ought to do a search for it if you love the car chases. How often is it a woman behind the wheel in a high-speed getaway from the cops?
It's rare, but it happens. But for different reasons. It's not usually somebody, a woman that's using crack cocaine, or she's just robbed a bank, or is a kidnapper, burglar. It's for different reasons. Most of the time, it's psychological.
Tell me you talked to the woman that stole the police car that one time. Remember that?
I do. But I didn't speak to her. We had in this particular show, and we're doing more. We'll probably get to her soon, I hope. But we're the people that we have one guy that was a burglar, big time burglar out here in Southern California. And he got, pointed out, and the LAPD went out to go talk to him, and he happened to be in his car going over to the donut shop off the 405 freeway, Randy's Donuts. And so he wouldn't pull over, and he led police all the way down to the Mexican border with the U.S., and he gets out of the car, and he's got a 10-month-old child in his hand and a knife in his other hand, and he's threatening himself, I'm one step closer, and I'm going to kill myself. So, of course, everyone backs down. And he's trying to run into Mexico with his child. Well, he drops his son after being maced, and he races across the border only to be tackled by the Mexican authorities. And he was handed back over, but we couldn't figure out what was up with this guy. And it turns out, he's a big-time burglar, and he still claims he didn't know that the police were following him.
The whole way to the border?
Yes.
Wow. That's awesome.
But he's back with his wife, and, she's standing by her man.
Wow.
The guy's out. He's been clean, and he's, started a new life.
Well, I got to tell you, we've been saying for a long time there needs to be a full-time car chase channel where they're either doing live stuff or they're interviewing and going back over stuff like this show that you did.
Yeah.
Why They Run.
We've been working on something like that.
Bob, you're our man. You've got to make it happen.
I will. I'll make you happen.
I mean, this is the car chase capital of the world, dude. Let's get on it. Looks like a great show again. MSNBC, it's called Why They Run. We've been talking to Bob Turr. Bob, thanks for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Anytime, guys.
Thank you, man. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Donald Trump is branching out from primetime television to syndicated daytime television. The Hollywood Reporter tells us that the Donald is set to act as a mediator and financial counselor on a TV show that will deal with guests who have financial issues and disputes, and he will be the decider.
Oh, my God. He's going to be like his own Judge Judy?
Yes, but only on financial disputes.
Huh.
That sounds deadly dull.
What a bag of hot air that guy is.
Kevin, yes, I am.
You are part, Kevin.
Yeah. It sounds dull. It sounds horrible, but at least he's finally using himself for something that's appropriate, I think.
Listen, doesn't he try to make us believe he's rich?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then why does he need so many jobs?
Oh, I think fame is more important than money.
Ego.
Why is he doing the Donald Trump financial seminar with the Learning Annex? How much fame is that bringing him?
I don't know. I already got paid $1 million for that, but I don't know.
What,
sure.
What are you waving over there, Psycho Mike?
Lightning was all jazzed to go to that.
You're kidding me.
When we first saw Bill
Did he
Morris,
go?
I don't know if he ever ended up going.
Awesome.
I want to learn from Donald Trump how to be rich. The double dose of Dave Gahan.
Well, you know what? The first dispute, Donald can mediate.
Uh-oh.
My class action lawsuit against him.
For continuing to annoy us?
Well, there's that. Oh. But also, TMZ.com has just published the cast list of Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice TV show.
Celebrity Apprentice?
Yes.
Okay.
It's The Apprentice, but with all celebrities.
Remember when he was saying all the biggest names were going
to... Remember Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears were battling over which one got to be on the show.
Sure, which one won?
I don't think either of them apparently won. We all lose as TV viewers, given by this list. The reason I'm suing Donald Trump, and it's a class action suit, so feel free to jump on board.
the title Celebrity should not be in the TV series name Celebrity Apprentice.
So they're that small?
Here is your cast list. Marilou Henner.
Who's she? How do I know that name?
She was the redhead on Taxi.
Yes, that's Elaine, correct.
Elaine Nardo on Taxi, Marilou okay. Henner.
I never watched that show, but all right.
Carol Alt. Former model.
I want to say.
From the late 1950s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Attractive, yes. But hardly a celebrity.
Stephen Baldwin, who, by the way, has never met a reality show. He didn't like Stephen Baldwin. Has never said no to anyone's offer to be on a reality show. Tito Ortiz?
No way.
Really?
Okay. Well, at least he's a current celebrity.
Tito Ortiz?
Powerful athlete. Quite the MMA fighter. But a celebrity?
You're going to fire him? Is that what you're going
to
do?
I'm just questioning the title celebrity when applied to
these
people.
I'd say Tito Ortiz is a celebrity, but I'd say
I agree.
So far he's the only one.
How about Vinny Big Pussy Pastore?
Nope.
Oh,
from The Sopranos.
No.
Does he count?
No, I don't think.
Can we, by the way, how long does your character have to be dead before we stop referring to you by that character's name?
Yeah.
Big
yeah.
Pussy was killed off like 9 seasons ago on The Sopranos. You've got to stop even calling yourself Big Pussy.
But has he done anything else since that anyone knows him for?
No, he hasn't.
They didn't even want him on The Sopranos, the TV show he was on. Why do we want him on this show?
Lennox Lewis?
Oh, my God.
No. Huh. Former heavyweight champion, Lennox Lewis?
No.
British boxer? Ringing a bell? Anyone?
No.
Gene Simmons.
Yes!
Okay, now we're talking.
Yes!
Are you kidding me?
Now we're talking. Frontman and bassist for Kiss, of course.
Okay.
He's going to be on the show.
Second celebrity.
Yeah. And finally, and a pox on Donald Trump and all his family for returning her to our eyes.
Omarosa?
Omarosa.
Oh!
Oh, no.
Just when we thought she had burned through her 15 minutes of fame and we were free of this whore, this bitch, he's going to put her back on television.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
By the way, she was only famous for his show, right?
Right.
Yes.
She's not a celebrity. She was on his show once.
And unbearable.
Yeah, yeah, yes. We hated her.
Wow. Not many celebrities there.
No. But at least Gene's got a new gig. It's good to know.
I hope we'll be speaking with him.
Gene, are you going to be hawking some new Kiss items while you're on the show? Take advantage of the opportunity for the publicity to sell some stuff?
Yes. I'm actually working on the Kiss defibrillator.
Oh, the defibrillator.
Yes,
oh, good.
And also, you know, the CPR kit in case anybody should happen to choke in public. Excuse me, speaking of choking.
All right. Thank you very
Gene.
Much
for that. Thank you.
Wow. Did you hurt yourself reaching for that?
You could
dislocate a shoulder that way.
Maybe I felt loose.
Yeah. these fires are horrible, and they are also, as I mentioned last hour, the great equalizer. The rich and famous are being devastated as much as the regular folk. According to TMZ.com, there are tons of celebrities whose homes are dangerously close to the fires, especially in Malibu, as you can imagine. The list, just a partial list, Mel Gibson, Goldie Hawn, Tom Hanks, Pamela Anderson, Jim Carrey, Diana Ross, Kelsey Grammer, Courtney Cox, and David Arquette. Olivia Newton-John, James Cameron, Cindy Crawford, Jennifer Aniston, and Sean Penn, all in danger of losing their homes.
We are speaking with Tobin Bell from the Saw movies. He's Jigsaw in the Saw movies later on this morning. He was supposed to come in, doesn't want to leave his home, doesn't know if he's going to have to evacuate at any minute. So he's just going to call us from there. He's in that Malibu fire, too.
He's going to call us and we're running down the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a great movie.
Man, that's rough. I feel sorry for the people who don't have the funds necessarily to rebuild.
Yeah.
Well,
that
if there is an upside, at least in the Malibu fires, those people tend to have a bunch of cash.
Right.
So they probably
insurance.
Have decent
well
fire insurance.
And oftentimes a second home.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and it's obviously an emotional tragedy anytime you have to lose all your belongings and photos and that kind of stuff and your home gets burned to the ground. I mean, it's got to be jarring, but at least you hope that these people will be able to rebuild their lives fairly quickly.
Yeah.
But there's other folks who don't have it nearly as well, so let's keep that in mind.
What about Suzanne Summers, by the way, who lost everything less than a year ago in a fire and yesterday had to evacuate from the temporary home that she's living in?
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
We all need to get away from her. God does not like her.
He does not like that fire master.
Look, we all need to move away from her.
I created thighs perfectly, he's saying to her. Do not mess with my thighs. That's what he's saying, basically. We're talking to Tobin Bell later on from Saw?
Yeah.
What's he sound like, Kevin? I've never actually seen him.
Like
I've never seen a Saw movie.
I did this yesterday for Bean, just because Bean really didn't know.
What's he sound like?
You want to play a game?
Ladies and gentlemen, for your consideration.
Yeah! Sorry, that's all I got.
I'm going to nominate you for a soundie this year.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
All right. Well, it's rough. The Ellen DeGeneres dog saga continues.
Really? That person didn't realize what a gigantic a-hole they were being and backed down?
It's getting much bigger than that, Kevin. A bigger controversy has been unveiled.
Now what?
Now the story is circulating, published in New York Post's Page Six, as well as other sources, that Ellen may make a habit of re-gifting her adopted animals.
What does that mean?
Apparently she adopts animals and then gives them away as quickly as she gets them.
To try and find homes for them.
Either that or she hates animals.
Well, yeah, what's up with that?
Wants to pretend she likes them and then just gives them away to homeless people.
That
and
seems
stuff
like a lot of work if
food.
You hate animals.
Yeah, I know, but apparently Carrie Randall says that she adopted a mixed breed puppy named Stormy and gave it to Ellen 2 years ago. And then Ellen gave it to someone else.
I got to tell you, I don't have much of a problem with somebody finding homes for those pets.
Mm-mm.
If that's what she's really
homes.
Doing.
The woman checked in
homes.
With Ellen 2 weeks after the adoption to see how things were going and was assured everything was fine. And then she found out that Ellen no longer had the dog, had given it to someone on her staff. So she's just a whore.
That's our conclusion?
Yes, yeah, she gives away puppies willy and nilly. It's unacceptable. Let's get her off television.
My fear about this whole thing, and yeah, I love dogs and all, but I hope Portia de Rossi isn't sad. That's really my main concern in this story, is I don't want her to cry.
Sure.
Really? That's your main concern?
Because I love her so.
Yeah.
She loves you as well?
Maybe.
No. Nobody wants a sad lesbian.
Try to find a happy one.
I love lesbians.
I'm saying, they're all cranky. You watching that Tila Tequila show?
Boy,
there's a lot of anger in the lesbian community.
They found the dumbest people on earth, straight and lesbian, by the way.
I'm just saying, yeah, lesbians are angry.
But how mad can you be if you make everybody sleep in the same bed and then you're pissed that they start fooling around with each other? I mean, wake up, Tila.
But the problem is she's making the lesbians sleep with the straight guys.
Yeah.
They don't like that. Lesbians aren't fond of men, I'm finding out as I watch that show.
Not fond of? No.
No. Hmm. No. We should have Ask a Lesbo.
Oh, we're trying it. We're working on
that on the list, yeah.
We should get one in. Say, why so angry?
Lipstick. Lesbo.
Sure, naturally. Oh, that's so like you.
Right,
oh,
isn't
not
it?
One of the ugly ones. Not one of the ugly ones.
Don't need a dude.
No seismologists.
No seismologists?
Are you coming at Kate from Pasadena? Come on.
That's a pretty specific cough. And not a cough, even.
Today's celebrity birthday is Ang Lee.
Hi!
Director of many feature films. He's 53 years old today. That's right, he did that Brokeback Mountain, didn't he?
Sure did.
I forgot about that.
Did he Brokeback Island as well?
I think he did do Brokeback Island. Do we have time?
No, he did. We do not have time. We have a guest standing by.
Next hour, we'll bring you the trailer for Brokeback Island, one of my favorite films. Dwight Yoakam, country singer, is 51 years old today. Robert Trujillo from Metallica and Suicidal Tendencies is 43. Dave says he doesn't count, by the way, from Metallica because he's not an original member.
Count.
He's still in
the
Metallica and has been for years.
Doesn't count. Not an original member.
F Dave.
Not constructive. That's what Dave kept yelling every time we brought it up. Not constructive.
Such a moron.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds, one of my favorite actors.
Oh, you love him.
I will go see anything he is in.
So talented.
So good.
Ever since 2.5 Dogs and a Pizza Palace, I loved him on that show.
He used to come in every day and talk about that
funny,
endlessly.
Laugh. I thought I'd cry. And then Van Wilder knocked me out.
Yeah.
Knocked me out. So talented. 31
Sweet.
Years old today. And did I mention Weird Al Yankovic celebrates his birthday?
Al's the best.
Al's 48 years old today. Wonder how that concert was. Did you go? Kevin, you said you were going to go.
Yes.
You said you were going to
take your girls. Remember on Saturday night?
Yes.
Any of this ringing a bell?
Yeah, it does. They had other plans.
Your twins had other plans?
Yeah.
They're nine.
Yeah, don't you sort of control what they do
on a
regular basis?
They are not very fond of me. They like to go other places.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, they ghost ride the whip on Saturdays, too.
That's true.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
About 10 minutes, we're going to throw up. Well, you can call right now, but we'll get to your calls in about 10 minutes. We're going to throw open the phone lines for Ask a Muslim. Now, this is the latest in the continuing series of entertaining and educational features on The Kevin and Bean Show. We did Ask a Cop. We've done Ask a Black. We did Ask a Whore just last week. But this is one we've been working on behind the scenes for a while to try to get the right guy in studio, a guy willing to go through metal detectors. And he is here with us today. Sheikh Yasser Fazaga joins us. Do I have that right, Sheikh? Let me start off by asking, did I pronounce you correctly?
Yes, you did. You need to work on the sound there. It's Sheikh. So you either speak German or Hebrew to get that in there.
He's a religious director of the Orange County Islamic Foundation. Question number one, what's up with 9/11?
Yes! Nice.
Psycho Mike said he'd give me $100 if I asked that. Where's the cash?
Delivery was horrible.
Where's the cash?
You barely tried, Kevin.
Come on.
I mean, that was horrible.
You didn't say it had to be good delivery.
No, it had to be the Sean Penn disaster delivery. Where you wait for
What's a Sheikh? That sounds like a title. Like, is that like a king?
Actually, it has different meanings. It could either mean somebody who's elderly, so you'd call them Sheikh, or
that's
it could mean a head of a tribe, very similar to a mayor.
Okay.
Or it could be somebody who has religious education.
And that is you. You are what they call an imam, right?
Right. And remember that there is no concept of clergyman in Islam. So there is no hierarchy. So the title does not indicate anything more than this is the person that just knows a little more than the average person when it comes to theological
aspects. There's no hierarchy as far as who's in charge?
There is no hierarchy. Nobody's above me. Nobody is below me. The point is that you just respect whoever has got the education. That's all.
Okay.
But again, and I hope you understand this, Sheikh, we are so ignorant, as many Americans are, about Islam. So please, I hope you'll give us a wide berth on how dumb and naive some of our questions are. But when you see people standing up and addressing large groups of Muslims, and when you see ayatollahs and people like that, aren't they considered hires up in the religion?
No, not necessarily in a theological way. But what happens is that these are people whom they have supposedly established their credibility to the public. They have earned the trust of the public. So when they address them, there is more weight into what it is that they are saying.
I got
you. Now, what's your background? Where were you born? What's your education been like? How did you become an imam?
I was born in Eritrea, in northeast Africa. Small country. It's about 1,000 kilometers along the Red Sea.
Okay.
And I think Long Beach would have been the more appropriate name for that country. And I moved to the Sudan after civil war broke in my country. And then I moved back to the States here in 1987. I went to high school in Irvine. And then I got my BA degree in Islamic Studies and Arabic Sciences.
Okay.
Came down to California. That was in Fairfax, Virginia. Came down to California. Went to Cal State Long Beach to do my master's in counseling. Mm-hmm. I have not finished that yet. And then I went to Loyola to do my master's in Catholic theology, and I am working on that.
Okay.
Now, Kevin brought up 9/11, which is where most of us even first started giving any kind of serious consideration to learning about Islam. What has it been like for you as an American now since 9/11? Has it been difficult for you?
You know, sadly, the way that most Americans find out about Islam is mostly through headline news. Mm-hmm. Something terrible happening somewhere in the world. The perpetrators are Muslims. So you've got 1979, the hostages in Tehran.
Right.
And then 82, the bombings of the Marines in Beirut, and then the hijacking of the Aquila Laura, and then Desert Storm. It just keeps going on and on.
Right.
But I think the worst of it was 9/11, which we consider to be a mass murder. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is no justification. There is nothing Islamic or human about what took place on 9/11. And unfortunately for the Muslim community in the U.S., we were almost defined by 9/11. Every time I speak to people anywhere, they only have one vision, and that is planes diving into the World Trade Center.
Right.
And when they speak to me, I end up defining what Islam is not, but I never get the chance to speak as to what Islam is. And that is very, very frustrating.
I can imagine.
Certainly.
Can you tell me the difference between Islam and Muslim?
Okay. Islam is the name of the religion. It is actually an Arabic word, and Arabic is a Semitic language. Time to show off here. I speak half of the Semitic language in the world. I speak four different languages. What do you call a person that speaks four different languages?
Really smart.
Oh, that's
bilingual.
Good. And then if they speak three languages?
Trilingual.
And if they speak two?
Cuatro, huh?
If they speak one, we call them Americans.
So right.
Hey! That is true.
It's funny.
Islam is the name of the religion, and whoever adheres to that religion is called a Muslim.
Okay.
Okay.
Like similar to Christianity and a Christian.
Okay.
Same thing.
Now, speaking of Christianity, a religion that many of us are familiar with, the basic tenet of which is you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then you die and you go to heaven. Okay. What would be the shorthand version of what the principal tenet of the faith is for Islam?
Make sure you have a proper relationship with God. Don't only just believe in His existence, but you should have a personal relationship with Him that should impact your life positively. And that relationship is expressed in how you deal with the creation of God. That is really the gist of it. So Islam gives the principles and the guidelines and the values of how you should lead that life, where you have a proper relationship with God, but at the same time you also have a proper relationship with what God has created. And in other words, it is as a Muslim you're supposed to submit to the will of God, surrender to Him, and that will be your way of attaining peace in this world and salvation in the hereafter.
So there is a hereafter if you're a believer in Islam.
Yes, we do believe that there is a hereafter, and it is physical. It's not an abstract idea.
Okay.
And this life is what we call, this is a time where we study, and it's our exam. And then later on, we will be held accountable for the choices that we made. And some are going to be rewarded, and some are going to be dealt with.
If you're just joining us on K-Rock and are confused as hell because you thought there'd be a wacky Ralph Garman voice in the other room, it's actually Sheikh Yasser Fazaga, who's the religious director of the Orange County Islamic Foundation. We are doing Ask a Muslim. We have so many more questions, and I know you do too, but I think we need to take a break right now. Is that right, Kevin?
Yep.
Then come back and get into more of that. Ask a Muslim, 1-800-520-1067. Your questions, more conversation with the Sheikh when we return on K-Rock.
Welcome to Muslim Sensitivity Training.
Ask a Muslim.
Let's all look at why Muslims are upset.
Ask a Muslim, ask a Muslim, and Sheikh will answer it.
You're not allowed to have sex.
Ask a Muslim, ask a Muslim.
And what do we know about the places Muslims live? They live in good sand.
Ask a Muslim.
It is Ask a Muslim on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 1-800-520-1067. Our guest, and it's a real treat to have him in the studio this morning, is Sheikh Yasser Fazaga. He is the religious director of the Orange County Islamic Foundation. We did Ask a Whore last week. I don't know if you heard that one or not, Sheikh, but very different conversation than we're having here today. I got to be
very
honest.
Different.
Great questions. Let's start with... Wow, all good. Let's start with Ray. How about that? Ray in Glendale might be a good starting point for those of us who know so little about the Islam faith.
Right. Ray, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Oops, I'm sorry. This is Ryan. Ah, I got the wrong one. Sorry, my bad. Ray, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, could you tell me what the Quran is, and are there any parallels between it and the Holy Bible?
Well... The Quran is the name of the book that the Muslims consider to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
It is considered to be the word of God. And generally speaking, it discusses very quickly five different subjects. God and who He is. It talks about stories from the past.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about the Day of Judgment. It talks about the do's and the don'ts of a Muslim. And then it also speaks about the character of a Muslim. And there is a great deal of parallel accounts between the Quran and the Old Testament, specifically the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of the stories that are mentioned in the Old Testament, they have parallel accounts to in the Quran.
Oh, is that right?
They are different,
mm-hmm.
but there is common characters, common themes are there.
Okay.
As far as the New Testament is concerned, the only mentioned characters in the Quran from the New Testament are Zechariah, Mary, and John the Baptist.
Okay.
And generally speaking, the disciples of Jesus with no name given on them.
Okay.
But there is, I teach a course, it's called Introducing the Bible to the Quran Readers,
mm-hmm.
and Introducing the Quran to the Bible Readers via comparing and contrasting parallel accounts in both books.
If there are so many similarities between the Old Testament and the Quran, why does it seem like so many Muslims and Jews are at odds with one another?
You know, that is really sad. And historically speaking, Muslims and Jews got a lot better together than either one of them did with Christianity. For example, the golden age of both Muslims and Jews was in Spain. Moses Maimonides, who was the greatest Jewish philosopher, wrote his most important books in the Arabic language.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not even write it in the Holy Tongue, which is Hebrew. We've got some of the best theological debates that took place was between Muslims and Jews in Spain. And I think this being them being at odds at this point, I think it has a lot to do with what's going on in the Middle East.
Yeah.
But theologically speaking, Muslims are much closer to the Jews than they are to the Christians.
Okay. Thank you for the call on that. Now let's go to that Ryan call. He's on line 3 in Buena Park. It's Ask a Muslim on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Ryan. Go ahead. You're on with the Sheikh.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Ryan.
Hi there.
Hey, I was just wondering, what's this the pilgrimage to Mecca thing all about? Have you done it? Do you know anybody that has done it? What's the deal with that?
Yes, I did. The pilgrimage is one of the pillars of Islam. It is one of the 5 pillars of Islam.
So you're supposed to do it
if you're
Muslim?
Able physically and financially. It is once in a lifetime visit to Mecca. And what it is, it's a beautiful family reunion of the entire human race. And what happens, there would be about 2.5 million people there, all dressed the same, all doing the same prayers. And it is to emphasize the equality of humans. And as you recall, that was the turning point in the life of Malcolm X. Malcolm X was here in the U.S. being part of the Nation of Islam, believed that white people were inherently evil and that black people were inherently good and that God was black. He goes to Hajj and he is surprised to see that there were blonde people, blue-eyed people in Hajj with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he was introduced to Orthodox Islam. So I did do it. I was fortunate enough. The school invited us to go for Hajj back in 94. I couldn't have afforded it on my own. It's about $6,000 to $7,000 if you want to go by yourself.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why do so many people get trampled every year when they do the thing in Mecca? It seems like there's always a great deal of injuries.
Unfortunately, that is the case. There is some sort of bad management in how the traffic is controlled. And you also have lots and lots of people who do not have any place to stay in.
Yeah.
So they end up staying under bridges. They end up staying on the streets and they cause great, great amount of stampede.
I see. It's just too many people in too small an area without proper accommodations. That makes
actually,
a lot of sense.
It is too small of an area with about 2.5 million people there.
Wow.
Sheikh, do you pray 5 times a day toward Mecca? Is that something that is part of your daily ritual?
It is actually, and this morning I started driving before it was time for the first prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually did my prayer of the day here in the station.
Oh, that's not allowed, by the way. So, by the way, the Sheikh said when he was driving in, he heard Bean refer to him coming in on a camel, and he thought that was very funny.
Know.
He almost spit his coffee out.
I did. That was hilarious.
We're doing Ask a Muslim. So Sheikh Yasir Fazaga is here. He's the religious director for the Orange County Islamic Foundation. I want to ask you a question. My biggest problem with the Muslim faith is their treatment of women.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to get your answer on that. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back at 1-800-520-1067. I know you aren't the same as everyone else, but maybe you can help answer that. And any other questions, 1-800-520-1067. When he says shake and bake, he's not talking about you. You know,
no, he's not talking about our shake.
It's nothing to do with you.
I wonder if Allah has any idea what the F Rock and Fig is trying to talk about there. We're doing Ask a Muslim on the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock. Sheikh Yasir Fazaga is here with us, the religious director for the Orange County Islamic Foundation. Your call's at 1-800-520-1067. And before we go back to the phones, Kevin, you had a question for the Sheikh.
Yeah, I'm not all that studied, but it seems like women are way second-class citizens. In much of the Muslim world, they can be...
Hell yeah.
What?
Beaten. Hell yeah.
Sorry, Bean.
They
can be beaten. They're in some places, they're supposed to be beaten.
They can't drive.
They can be stoned. A guy can divorce them for looking at some. I mean, it just seems like the treatment of women is so bad in most of the Muslim. Is that accurate? Or
unfortunately, in a good part of the Muslim world, that is the case. Unfortunately, again, people confuse the cultural practices of people with the principles of the religion.
But isn't that what they're using to get the right to beat or
treat
them poorly?
We all have had our fair share of misusing and abusing the name of God.
Right.
As individuals, as nations, as different, you know, religious communities. So unfortunately, in some places, they do that.
It seems so accepted. I think that's my problem with it, is it just seems like women are abused and most people just seem to be okay with
that. Well, see, remember also with domestic violence here in the States, a woman is beating, every half a minute?
Yeah.
And the thing is, here we talk about it. We address it as an issue, as a problem that is worthy and rightly. So in the Muslim case, I don't think that has happened yet. But changes are taking place. Just to give you a quick example.
Will that happen?
Yes, it's already happening. Give you a quick example. 60% of college students in Iran are actually females at this point. You've got the most populated Muslim country is ruled by a woman. That's in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. Prime Minister is a woman. Mm-hmm. The second most populated Muslim country, Bangladesh, is ruled by a woman. Prime Minister is a woman. She's also handicapped, by the way. The third most populated Muslim country, Pakistan, the Prime Minister was a woman. The fourth most populated Muslim country, India, was also, the Prime Minister was a woman under Gandhi there. So the change is taking place. Unfortunately, the change is slow, but calls for reformation, social reformation are happening.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Great answer. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Kevin in Santa Ana. He's on line 8. And I know that, as you said when you came on, Sheikh, you spend a lot of time talking about what Islam is not based on Americans' perceptions of your religion, based on what they hear in the news. And I think that's where Kevin's question is coming from. Good morning, Kevin. You're on the air. Ask a Muslim.
Yeah. My question is, how come in this country we hear about how Islam is a religion of peace, yet across the world they're killing each other and doing all these horrible things, but you don't ever hear anybody specifically denounce that sort of activity? Why doesn't anybody speak out against all the killing and that kind of stuff?
The criticism is very valid, and I remember that within the Muslim community in the U.S., people would come out to us and they say, you haven't said enough about 9/11. You right. have not criticized those who have done, and we did. Unfortunately, criticism and rebuking and denouncing these statements and these behaviors, it's not very exciting. It's not newsworthy. It's almost like, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. And right. in our case, you know, trying to denounce a behavior like this, there is nothing exciting.
You don't think there's too few people doing it?
You know, we are very loud about
not
our
you,
criticism.
Of course, but I'm saying across. I mean, especially in the Middle East, are there people who criticize loudly?
They do, and I don't think it's loud enough, though. I'll have to be honest with that one. It is not loud enough. And sadly, Muslim against Muslim violence is also increasing. And I know that maybe some members of my own community would not want me to say this. But if you look at it, in Afghanistan, it's Muslims who are killing Muslims.
Yeah.
In the Sudan, in Pakistan, like you've seen with Benazir Bhutto attempted assassination there. Mm-hmm. And you just name it in Iraq.
Even in Iraq, yeah, there's...
Sad. I mean, isn't part of it that it's very dangerous in certain parts of the world to come out and speak against radical Muslims?
It is, and I think that the idea is not only amongst Muslims. If you remember in Ireland, Protestants killing Catholics, mm-hmm. that yeah. went on for some time as well. But there is just this religious jealousy where people compete to claiming the truth, but not necessarily the implementation of that truth, where people claim peace, but they don't act it out.
Right.
Sheikh, how did the United States get to be the great Satan? Why are we the infidels, and why does it seem to us, maybe just based on news reports, that there are so many Muslims around the world who hate everything that we believe in and everything that we do?
Very quickly, two things. The infidel is not a Muslim term. We do not have that. We do not have that term. That term actually originated from the Catholic Church. Secondly, this question as to why do people hate us, mm-hmm. I think it has to be rephrased. I don't think there is hatred. Like I said, I was in Romania this last week, and everybody wants to come to the U.S. Everybody is listening to American music. They're watching American TV. They're buying American products. So there is really no hate there. What there is a lot of resentment, and this resentment is directed more towards the policies and not necessarily to the people there. We had a Muslim theologian who once came to the U.S., and he was just surprised when he came to the U.S. by the decency and the generosity and the goodness of the people. And he made a very profound statement. He said, Americans are the most decent people. Unfortunately, their decency does not go beyond the ocean. And he was referring to the fact that those who represent the people do not necessarily have the policies that express the decency of these people. And I'm not talking about the Muslims only, but Americans are not looked at as good because of the current administration in South America, in parts of Asia, in parts of Africa, and I can tell you this as an African. We always felt that we were exploited
really?
By the Western world, specifically by the U.S.
Because the government would sometimes back rulers of countries because they were friends of the U.S. as opposed to good for their people,
And people see this. We spit on some of the dictators, and yet we embrace others. And people are not dumb.
Yeah. Would you say that George Bush is or is not a hero to the Muslim people?
I think we would have to agree with the majority of Americans.
You're right.
I didn't say that.
We can all agree on that.
Do I remember, though, guys, that there was video shortly after 9/11 of people on the street, not people in the military, not people in the government, but people on the street who were cheering at the fall of the Twin Towers? And maybe that's where my impression comes, that there were people who were happy, Muslims, who were happy to see harm come to this country.
Yes, some people refer to that video. It happened in Palestine. And it reminded me of the reaction of some of the people within the African-American community when O.J. Simpson was acquitted.
Yeah.
They were not celebrating the murder of Nicole and her boyfriend. That's not what they were celebrating. But you know what? It is one of us who did it and got away with it.
Right.
And within that celebration, it was, you know what? Now get to feel what we've been feeling, where missiles would hit our homes in Gaza and in the West Bank. Now, maybe when you get a chance to see that, you will be more sympathetic towards our cause.
Well, in Palestine, it's not surprising because we support Israel.
Yeah, most of them weren't from Palestine. They were from Saudi Arabia and other places. Is it all about the Jewish war with the Palestinians? Is that 90% of the problem?
Well, if we listen to what they have been telling us, their grievances is the presence of the U.S. troops in Saudi Arabia, the unconditional backing of Israel in the Middle East, and on top of that, the unconditional support for a great majority of the Muslim dictators who are ruling the Muslim world. So their grievances is, we can do this with our people, but you know what, let's look into the big guy that's being supporting all these activities. And in that case, it happened to be the U.S.
Let's talk to Mario in Whittier real quick. We got a question about the afterlife we touched on briefly in our discussion of the Quran. It's Ask a Muslim on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Mario, good morning. You're on with the Sheikh. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Yeah, I have a question. What is up with leaving the 22 virgins in the afterlife after martyrdom?
Yes, I have heard different numbers. I've heard 22. I've heard 70.
And I hope it's 70. I hope that's the right number.
Where does that come from?
Actually, the Quran does refer to some of the reward that people will have in the afterlife. And it speaks about partners that will be granted to people who have done good. And it speaks about them. The term that is given is hur, which means somebody who is viceless, mm-hmm. somebody who is pure. So when you die and you make it to heaven, this will be part of the reward that you get. Now, that is only a small physical reward that you will get in the hereafter. But the majority of the Quran, when it speaks about the hereafter, this is not what it concentrates on. It rather speaks about the greatest reward will be is that in paradise, there will be no grief and there will be no anxiety. This is the reward that is repeated.
Do you believe in the 22 virgins or however many virgins? I mean, it sounded like it does refer to it and you didn't disagree with it.
No, the Quran
is a small part of it.
The Quran does refer to it. It does not make a big deal out of it.
Okay.
It does refer the Quran does sexual pleasure is something that the Quran does not look down upon as
right.
long as it's put in the proper channel.
But if you're saying someone is viceless who gets that, then you're talking about what in a Christian religion would be a saint or a Catholic religion, someone that's that magnitude. Yeah.
The purity, the belief is that these people are created up in heaven. They're not of the creation of the earth.
I always thought virgins, how fun can that be? You know, you need someone with some experience.
I'm willing to give it a try.
Now,
what about the people, Sheikh? I know we're almost out of time. I just have one more question. What about the people who believe that the way to get the best deal in the afterlife, and I know that's a dumb way to put it, but is through martyrdom? Like that's the ultimate way to express your love of Allah and your Islam faith is to somehow become a martyr by blowing something up and taking yourself with you? Because there seems to be no shortage of suicide bombers, for instance, who are willing to die for their cause.
Unfortunately, what you have is this idea that the greatest sacrifice would be to give up my life
right.
for my cause. But remember this, the nobility of the cause is very important. It's a prerequisite. Martyrdom, I believe, which we refer to it as the concept of jihad, is a very noble mission, which basically means it is the elimination of injustice, regardless of who is the oppressor and who is the oppressed. Islam says that when you see this, you have got responsibility. You either eradicate it physically, you speak against it, or you denounce it in your heart. I remember a beautiful word that was said by Father Desmond Tutu when he said, in a situation of injustice, if you decide to be neutral, then you have chosen the side of the oppressor. So now the mm-hmm. point is, you see this, you've got to do something about it, even if it means that you give up your life in the process.
Aren't most of the oppressive governments Muslim?
Unfortunately, that is the case.
So why? Where's the focus on that? It seems like they should be focused on that more than.
Well, you're going in their case. The belief is that you're going for the big head that is keeping them where they are, and in this case, it's the Western world. And by the way, speaking of suicide bombers, where do you think most suicide bombers come from? If we were to watch the news,
probably Santa Ana.
Oh no, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. Palestine.
Actually, if you go
Pakistan,
to the State Department, website, most suicide bombers come from Sri Lanka.
Really?
And they're not actually Muslims, and they're not religious people. The Tamil Tigers, it is a secular cause. The first suicide bomber, or the person that took the first suicide mission in Palestine, was actually an American, Baruch Goldstein from New York, a medical doctor. He went down there during the month of Ramadan while the people were worshipping, and he killed about 42 of them. And, of course, he was killed in the process.
Right. We're kind of out of time. We've been doing Ask a Muslim. The religious director of the Orange County Islamic Foundation, Sheikh Yasir Fazaga, is here. And I just wanted to give you 1 minute. You said one of your biggest, most frustrating things in life is that you have to say what Islam isn't. So wrap it up by saying what Islam is.
Islam is a religion that is adhered to by 1.5 billion people or 1.4 billion people in the world. It is a religion of peace, and I know that sounds cliche. It is a religion of submitting to the will of God. It is a religion of reaching out to people. It is a religion where you have a proper relationship with God, where you are given principles to live by, and these principles revolve around your character, and that character must manifest itself in the way that you deal with other people. Believing God, manifested in rituals. Rituals must impact your character, character that shows when you deal with other people. We've got statements by the Prophet Muhammad, that is, peace be upon him, where he speaks about those who are loved by God are those who are of most benefit to humanity. Those whom God loves are those who are in help of the people out there. And I would invite all your listeners to please just call your local Islamic center and see, you know what, just go ahead and visit us, and we are more than happy to accommodate people and invite people in. Go to our website, if I may say that.
Sure.
OCIF.org. That's the Orange County Islamic Foundation. .org. You know, give us a call, pay us a visit, and we would love to have a chit chat with you.
Very nice. Our guest has been the Sheikh Yasir Fazaga. Thank you so much for joining us, Sheikh. I want to go out into the parking lot and give your camel some carrots before he takes off. great to meet you. I hope we'll stay in touch. Thank you for coming by today.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for
804. Ralph, why are you still talking? Why are you still doing the showbiz beef?
I was just asking myself that same question.
As next we started, we're running a
why
little
am I still
late.
Doing the showbiz
well,
beef?
Ten
years later, why am I still
late.
Doing it?
We had so many questions for our Muslim guest, and we just scraped the surface of that fascinating topic. So we apologize for cutting into your time. We have a Tobin Bell from the Saw movie coming up after the news.
Yeah, what a surprise. A Muslim has sabotaged my bit. How typical.
I don't think that's how we want to put it.
You know, they had some sort of time measuring device here in the studio. You could gauge how much time you had for each segment and then act accordingly.
That would be good. Why didn't we think about that?
We're going to see if they have some
like
sort of technology that measures time in increments, and that way you can sort of anticipate how much time you have in each segment.
Good.
And then run on time.
Because we don't have any windows and the sundial doesn't work.
That's right. You can't tell where the sun is in the sky.
That's our problem.
Like our ancient ancestors did.
Right.
You douchebag.
Exactly.
By the way, I don't know if it's to your credit or not, but I am continually shocked and surprised when you guys do a segment like that is actually educational and really fascinating radio.
How dare you? Wasn't he?
So I must say to your credit that I found that discussion fascinating and really sort of helpful in our current cultural climate.
He's a good spokesman.
He is. And you guys were asking really relevant questions, much to my surprise.
What do you want, Ralph? This can't just be honest.
And the phone calls, actually, the listeners did a great job, too, adding to it. So.
You've set us up. Now what are you going to say?
I'm telling you.
Pull the rug out from under us.
I'm telling you, every once in a great while.
We stumble onto something?
You stumble onto a really nice chunk of entertaining and informative radio. So, good on you, mate.
What?
Good on you, mate, is what I'm saying.
All
in the words
however.
Of Russell Crowe. When Ron Jaworski asked him to say mate again, I thought I was watching Kevin interview somebody. Did you watch Monday Night Football last night?
No, I did not, no.
Russell Crowe was in the booth.
Yeah.
As their celebrity guest. I guess Jimmy Kimmel wasn't available.
Yeah.
And they're talking about him and his rugby league team. You know,
right.
he owns a team in Sydney. And so they're talking about sports and stuff, and it's the end of the interview, and Ron Jaworski, former, of course...
Raider.
Yeah.
former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback,
sure,
says to Russell Crowe, "I love it when you say mate. Can you say that again?" And I said, "How embarrassing to ask the Australian guy to say mate." But to his credit, Russell Crowe said, "Good on you, mate." And Russell's like, and Jaworski's like, "Oh, I love that." Big dork.
How much can you love that?
I don't know. Didn't you ever see Crocodile Dundee?
What the hell?
How much of it is a fresh thrill to hear mate coming out of an Australian's mouth?
I love that.
Well, that's very nice, Ralph. It's wonderful to hear your story. I wonder if anyone else cares.
Oh, blow me, Jiminy. I got bigger problems than you. Hey, you know, Phenomenon debuts this week.
Oh, yes. Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night is the new smash hit TV series from NBC starring our own Chris Sarantakis.
Is he ours?
Yeah. And Uri Geller, legendary mentalist Uri Geller, where they try to find the latest and greatest in mentalists.
Yeah.
People who can do freaky tricks with their minds.
Sure.
I would like to nominate our own GBGB Gene Baxter.
For
the new phenomenon, the new mentalist. The new phenomenon mentalist.
Well, I can't do any of that stuff.
A few weeks ago, I was talking about a TV show called Viva Laughlin.
Right. Oh, the musical.
Starring Hugh Jackman and Melanie Griffith, and it was a musical a la Cop Rock where people would break into song for no apparent reason.
I was excited about that, yet didn't have time to watch it.
You're not alone, my friend. Here is what mentalist phenomenon Bean Baxter said about Viva Laughlin.
Well, if you're saying singing and Melanie Griffith, I'm saying two episodes. That's what I'm saying is how many will air.
Two episodes.
He said that 2 weeks ago?
CBS announced yesterday, Viva Laughlin canceled after two episodes. Phenomenon.
Bean. Stars in Phenomenon.
Bean Baxter is Phenomenon. Coming this fall on NBC.
Bean, let me hear you yell.
I can't I can't do the Chris Angel. I'm sorry. But you, in my defense, I'm sure most of us expected that show to die a very, very quick.
Your defense?
Death.
We're saying you're a
to your credit,
future reader,
we're not
dude.
Attacking you for a change.
Okay.
You can tell the future.
You're precognitive.
Or whatever.
Yeah!
So that show's gone, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Bites the dust. See, I thought it might hang on because, first of all, it's Hugh Jackman, the biggest name, one of the biggest names in movies on television. That's a coup for CBS, and they dumped an enormous amount of money into this thing. But I guess you'll be watching it when they release the full season box set, I guess, is where you'll see that. Also, in TV news, Jennifer Lopez performs tonight on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, dear God.
She'll go anywhere, won't she? After American Idol, now Dancing with the Stars, she has lowered the bar when it comes to her personal appearances.
Who fell on Dancing with the Stars? Who was
it? No, last night it was Marie Osmond fainted.
Yeah. Fainted?
Fainted on Dancing with the Stars.
Fantastic.
She said she was so excited she forgot to breathe.
She said that?
That's what she said. Yeah, that's excited. That is exciting.
That's just not possible.
Yeah. And I'm so excited that I almost forgot to breathe.
About?
When I found out that on November 15th and 16th, special guest co-host on The View, Jessica Simpson.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm talking
about. Are you kidding?
How long has it been since we've had Jessica Simpson in a situation where she is bound to make an ass of herself by showing off her legendary stupidity?
And who's on that show that's smart enough to bring that out of her?
Everybody
All
else?
Of them?
Yeah.
Oh, that's anyone in the audience or anyone watching at home?
Joy Behar. You got Barbara Walters, who is a smart lady. Whoopi Goldberg, for all you may believe or think of her or not, she's a very intelligent woman.
Sure.
So,
that's going to
They're
going
to ask her what she thinks about current events. I haven't had this much fun since Newlyweds was on the air. And that was edited and recorded. She's going to be live on this one saying all kinds of dumb things.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Yeah,
such my a new. That was typical, Jessica.
Uh-huh. Set your TiVos. That's all I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthday is Ryan Reynolds.
You love?
Oh, so good.
Your boyfriend?
He's so gifted.
Remember the one where he was fat in the beginning?
Oh, remember? And then he was all that afterwards? And he was in love with Amy Smart, and then she didn't love him, but they were just friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's funny.
It's rich.
Talent.
He's 31 years old today. Robert Trujillo.
Yeah!
From Metallica and Suicidal Tendencies is 43 years old today. Ang Lee, director.
Hey!
Is 53 years old today. He, of course, did Brokeback Mountain. We still don't have time for Brokeback Island.
Nope.
That's why you guys ran late, because you knew I was going to play the trailer to Brokeback Island.
Let me get to talk to Tobin Bell about Saw 4.
Tobin Bell, what's he sound like when he does that movie?
You want to play a game?
It's as if he's in the room with us. And Weird Al Yankovic, we had on just last week.
I'm always thinking about it. I don't know what I'd do without it.
pancreas.
That's what he does for a living.
Who doesn't love their pancreas? He's 48 years old. You know, that's the official song of the pancreas replacement team.
I heard
at,
that.
John Hopkins University.
I heard that's true.
He must be so proud. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Friday. It's another Halloween weekend, Kevin. It's another release of a Saw movie, and we're very happy to welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show our pal Tobin Bell. He, of course, Jigsaw from the films. Hey, Tobin, how are you, man?
Good morning. How you doing, guys?
We're doing fine. We understand you are in a tough part of town this morning. What's going on in Malibu?
Yeah, well, you know, over here on the west side, we're sandwiched between the Santa Monica Mountains and the ocean, so it's pretty windy, and as long as the... you know, some of the gusts are 50 miles an hour, so some of these embers pick up and start moving, and you never know where something's going to spring up.
Yeah, it's real scary right now. We'll keep our fingers crossed for you, Tobin. So do I have that right? Is this four Halloweens in a row you're in theaters with Saw?
Yeah, four Halloweens right around the same time. It's become like a celebration. You know, we work hard during the year and put something together, and hopefully the fans will be satisfied and love what we did.
I don't have a great memory, but weren't you dead at the end of the last one?
Well, I still am.
Still dead.
I'm still dead.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, Saw doesn't happen in sequence. You know, it's not a linear kind of thing. So, you know, I'm still dead, but because you know how I died doesn't mean you know the rest of the story.
I got you. Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember when the first Saw came out, Tobin, and it really did kind of usher in a new golden age of slasher movies, and people were so impressed with it, and it was so fresh and so original.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, what do they do now? And then you came back with Saw 2, which was even bigger and even better by all accounts and everything like that. There just must be guys who sit around that must be the most twisted, effed up guys in the world that continue to come up with new ways to torture these poor people who happen into Jigsaw's universe.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, they're not lazy, these guys.
No.
They're pretty creative, and the original guys came from Australia, the guys who created the first ones. But, you know, we got a group of people who the traps and the tricks in the films are just amazing. And we got a group of special effects people who do a great job, but we're always trying to keep the story up to the level of the special effects, and I think we've been successful so far doing that.
When you play a character like this guy who is, you know, on purpose super scary, does it impact your personal life when you're walking around? Do people go, I don't know why that guy looks... He looks bad to me. I don't know what's going on.
They cross the street.
Yeah, maybe they don't know. You know, maybe they didn't see the movies, all of them, or whatever. Yeah. They don't know where to place you, but you just look evil.
Well, you know, there are people who look at you sideways. You know, most of my biggest fans work in the security lines at airports.
Nice.
And that you know, it's always fun to be there. And but you know, it's wonderful to play a guy who's been this popular. You know, I just am careful if I slip on a hoodie, because you know, I mean, he wears a cloak, and slip on a hoodie and go out for a sandwich late at night and walk into a place to get one, and sometimes the clerk behind the counter will be somewhat shocked when he looks up.
I would spend my whole life doing that.
Yeah, right.
But you know, it's so funny. I mean, you've been acting. You've been in dozens and dozens and dozens of TV shows and movies throughout the years. I mean, you've had a long, very successful career, but you never count on being an iconic movie character. I mean, nobody is young as an actor and says, one day I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be Freddy Krueger or Mike Myers or Jigsaw. I mean, it's just one of those happy accidents of the profession you've chosen where something like this comes your way. I mean, happy it's got to just be a blessing.
It's fabulous. You know, it's one of those things, you know, people ask me that all the time, you know, what's it feel like to be a horror icon? And I say, it feels great. You know, I hope they retire my jersey, you know, put me on a shelf somewhere in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, that's what actors, when you start out in this business, you want to have artistic, but if you can add commercial success to that too, then you got a wonderful combination. So.
Now, there's a lot going on this week. On Thursday, the AMC theaters, Burbank 16, Inland Empire, Ontario Mills, Long Beach, Delamo, Norwalk 20, Orange County, Block at Orange, and Universal City Walk. On Thursday, they're showing a Saw Fest, a marathon. You can go see, starting at 6 o'clock, Saw 1, 2, 3, and then at 12:01 on Friday, 4.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of saw right
yeah,
there.
Yes, it is. That's pretty exciting. I tell you, my oldest son in New York went to a midnight show the opening night last year and in Times Square, and he couldn't get in. It was at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was the lines were around the block. So anyway, we're pretty excited. I think Saw 4 is going to be the best of them all, and that's a mouthful because it's hard to keep the level up, you know.
Now I hate to be the guy who brings this up before Saw 4 is even open, but as I understand, they're already hard at work on Saw 5, right?
Well, yeah, you know, there's talk about Saw 5, and the guys who create this thing have talked to me about it. But, you know, it's always been we always wait to see what the fans' reaction to the movie, the current movie is. And if there's a strong reaction to the film and people feel satisfied and there's more story to be told, there will be a 5. And,
exactly.
And if there is, I'm looking forward to contributing.
You can get all the information about the Saw Fest. If you want to see all four movies for the price of one admission, go to amctheaters.com. And, of course, Saw 4 opens everywhere on Friday. Tobin, we love having you on the show, man, although
Thank you
do
so
make
much.
Us sound like weeny guys who shouldn't be on the radio once we're compared next to your voice. But
best of luck with your place.
I
appreciate it, and it's always good to talk with you.
Thank you, Tobin.
You bet.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
What about the Kevin Amin Afro line on the air, 323-520-AFRO? You call us. We put it on the air like this.
Please tell me what's going on here.
Hello,
I don't know.
I can't imagine.
It's a cartoon.
What's that about?
I don't know.
And I'm going to tell this next caller the same thing that I tell everybody who calls and complains. You got to be more specific about what you don't like, because we do a lot of stuff people don't like.
Right.
So how are we supposed to know what you're talking about?
Good morning, party people. Stop suckling each other and make me laugh. You're not funny.
Well, no, we're not funny.
No.
But I don't get the suckling part.
Yeah, I don't either. You know what would be cool is if somebody would send us this email.
Hey, good morning, boys. Just let you know that I read an article about monkeys killing a mayor in India. Just let you know, monkeys are taking over the world.
Yeah, received. Thank you. Got that? Read that? Saw that? Thank you very much. No need to continue to send that.
We are, a lot of people don't know, on the monkey mailing list. So we get that stuff right away.
We actually have the internet in our homes now, too. So we've seen it, really, even before you send it to us.
What Bean means by saying that is that he's very thoughtful of you to think of us.
Yes.
But
thank you for that. But stop it.
Our news guy, Doc.
Did I hear Doc correctly? He was recommending to K-Rock listeners tune to another team coverage station to cover the fire. Doc, we don't need to be sending K-Rock listeners away. Kevin and Bean do a good enough job of that themselves.
See?
Okay, you're on my list.
Dave the King of Mexico was so excited about Kristen Bell joining Heroes.
943, it's Heroes. Kristen Bell just killed a dude, and it's never been hotter. Damn, she's hot.
Is Dave going to call and give us a synopsis of every appearance that she makes on Heroes now?
Monday night, 957, Kristen Bell is talking on the phone. Man, have you seen anything so hot?
He's talking on the phone is what he called us with.
She did look great on the episode.
Yes, she did.
I got to give him that.
I can take care of myself.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. It is I, Laugh-U-La. And here is today's Halloween joke. How do witches keep their hair in place while flying? With scare spray.
That's a great voice to be wasted on that joke.
Good point.
You know? Tip for concerts.
Totally have to play Gunther, and you totally have to be at the Gunther show on November 3rd. It's in Garden Grove. You can't believe the Pleasure Man is coming to town, you guys. It's Gunther. You touch my tra-la-la.
It's pretty big news to have Gunther coming back to Southern California. I'm glad for that tip.
And we did the story of the Phantom Pooper.
Text a landline message. Hello, I am the Phantom Pooper and am going to poop all over the place. Ha 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 ha. I am pooping right now. Ha 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 ha.
Oh, I got a confession out of the Phantom Pooper.
That's a great use of technology, right?
You know how much I love to give blood, Kevin. You know that's my thing, right?
Yeah, Bean's obsessed with that.
I love giving blood. Sometimes I'll use a fake name, fake ID, and just drive around and just give blood like 4 or 5 times a week if I can, because I just love it so much.
You should do it 4 or 5 times today.
But the Red Cross, not just only about giving blood. It's about helping out in times of disaster. And that's not just around the world where they do so much work, but it's right here at home. And, of course, a lot of Southern California needs the Red Cross's help right now. You can see this on the news, but we're going to bring Paul Schultz, the CEO of the Red Cross, the Greater Los Angeles Chapter, on the phone with us on the Kevin Bean, Sean Carrick, to find out what's up with these guys this morning. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Just mentioned the work you guys do around the world, but wow, when it hits close to home, it must be have even additional meaning for you, huh?
Yeah, it really brings it home. We've had some huge activity the last couple of days, as you can imagine, and mainly for us in the Santa Clarita area, opening shelters and taking care of folks that are basically homeless for a few days.
So how does this work? Like, I'm watching the news last night, and I saw that there were a bunch of people who have been evacuated from their homes up in Santa Clarita, and they're staying, say, at the Saugus High School. Is that something that the Red Cross puts together?
Yeah, absolutely. We get notified from the fire department that there's areas that they're evacuating, and we work closely with them on setting up shelters that will work for folks who are displaced. So we have pre-identified locations that are good for overnight sheltering. High schools happen to be really good at that because you've got a gymnasium, you've got restrooms, you've got showers. We can set up a kitchen there. It just works out really well. So we had Saugus going in Golden Valley were our two main evacuation centers last night.
Now, most of these people are going to get to go home in a couple days if all works out, right?
Absolutely. In fact, our goal is to get folks back to their homes where they're most comfortable. And what's great about this is the firefighters have done such a great job in protecting structures that a lot of folks can go back to their homes. You know, they're quite blessed. So we feel lucky in that regard. But as soon as it's safe to go back, that's when we hopefully folks can get back into their homes.
Now, these wildfires are a way of life in Southern California. I mean, every single year about this time we see fires break out. But for some reason, this one seems scarier. And maybe it's just the number of acres that have burned already or the fact that you look up on the screen on your TV and it says 0% containment. But I have this terrible fear, Paul, and I'm wondering what your gut is on that we haven't seen the worst of this one yet.
I think that we're going to turn in a couple of days. I think it's going to get much better towards the weekend is what I'm seeing from the weather reports. The nasty conditions right now are you've got these really strong winds, very, very low humidity, and extremely warm temperatures, and that's just a bad combination.
Yeah.
So a lot of it you're just at the disposal of the weather until that changes. But I'm hopeful by this weekend we're going to have very different conditions.
We have your website up at the krock.com if people want to give money. Can they specify that it go to this cause?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, what we've done as of yesterday, we really set up the whole area as a disaster area within the Red Cross language, meaning any donations that your customers make to Red Cross, the local Red Cross here, will be designated for clients who are affected by this by these wildfires.
Okay. And of course, cash is something you can always use at the Red Cross, but do you also accept other sorts of donations if people have water, blankets, food, those sorts of things?
You know, it works a lot better to give us cash. We've got specific things that we store ahead of time that we then release during these wildfires. So we've got containers placed around Los Angeles. We'll start dipping into those containers for the food, the clothing, the cots, the water. And so what we really want to do at this point is replenish those containers and the warehouses that we already have. And we want to replenish it with exactly the same type of equipment so we know the cots, we know the food. And it's so hard to get that right if someone has just donated, you know, their aunt's blanket or, you know, someone's piece of equipment. It often doesn't fit. Sometimes it doesn't even fit in the container. So
money
is just so much more flexible.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So you go to the front page of krock.com, just under the announcement of the KROQ Creep Show with Serge Tankian, and you can see help the victims of the Southern California wildfires, give to the Red Cross, and then you click on that. There's a way to donate to the Red Cross LA County or the Red Cross Orange County or the Red Cross San Diego Imperial Counties. So it's very, very easy for you to donate. And is there an easy phone number you can give out for people who may need assistance that are listening that want to contact the Red Cross, Paul?
Yeah, if they need assistance because they've been affected by the fires, the best number, guys, would be 310-445-2676.
But really, that's just for emergencies. If people are having trouble with where they're living or they're being evacuated, that would be the number to call.
Okay. 310-445-2676.
That's it.
And we have that here at KROQ as well. Paul, we know you're very busy right now with all the good work you're doing for the Red Cross Greater Los Angeles Chapter. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ.
Hey, thank you, guys. And thanks to our volunteers who kept those shelters open the last couple of days. We really appreciate that.
Thank you, Paul. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous KROQ 106.7 KROQ. 858.
Why are you Ralph? Cackling like a little girl,
well,
Mike?
Ralph has the Optimus that? Prime mask.
Ralph is not here.
Ralph
is Optimus Prime, leader of
all
the
right.
Autobots.
It's 8:59 in KROQ FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. We're going to give away tickets to the KROQ Creep Show. If you're a fan of Serge Tankian and you must be there Saturday night, you're going to get a chance to earn them. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. We have a game that we'll play after the news. Right. Now, Optimus, why are you here filling in for Ralph on the Showbiz Beat this morning?
Because I am celebrating the fact that Transformers, the DVD, has sold 8.3 million copies this week.
Ralph, we can hear your voice as well.
No, you can't. I am Optimus Prime.
8.3 million copies.
That is a lot of fucking...
You can't talk like that. Come on.
I can say whatever I want.
No,
I'm Optimus Prime.
You can't say that word. No. All right. Take your helmet off.
Again.
Take your helmet off.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's get Ralph back, if you could.
There you go. All right. That's kind of a cheap helmet there, Ralph.
Thank you, Optimus Prime, for stopping by the studio.
That was very good.
It's amazing we fit him in here. He's so huge.
He's got a little of a potty mouth, a little bit of a potty mouth there, Ralph. You've got to be careful with the guests that you
Well, he's from another planet. He doesn't know our ways.
Yeah, that's true.
He doesn't know our FCC rules.
Well, he should learn.
Why?
He's going to be on our
He's
air.
Optimus Prime.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Bitches. Yeah, how about that? 8.3 million, huh?
That's amazing.
That's a lot of DVDs. Kevin, you picked one up, right?
I did.
See?
One of my favorite 10 movies of all time.
Yeah, I know. I heard. These Malibu, California fires are really up. Shut up, Optimus.
Turn off the
helmet.
Oh,
I
got to
turn them off here. Here we go.
There you
okay.
go.
Yeah, the Malibu, California fires not only have forced the Promises Rehab Center to evacuate. That's like 408 celebrities right there.
Yeah.
But a lot of other celebrities are dangerously close to losing their homes. Here's a partial list. Mel Gibson, Goldie Hawn, and Kurt Russell. Tom Hanks, Pamela Anderson, Jim Carrey, Diana Ross, Kelsey Grammer, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, Olivia Newton-John, James Cameron, Cindy Crawford, Sean Penn, and Jennifer Aniston all have homes dangerously close to the fire line. So we wish them the best. Except for Dana Ross.
Yeah.
I don't care much for her. Let her hair burn. She needs a good clearing of her hair. That's a
clearing
real
of the brush.
Forest fire danger right there. Yeah.
Same with Vanessa Hudgens.
Same with Vanessa Hudgens.
Different clearing of a different brush, though, Mike.
How dare you? How dare you?
What I tell you?
Ralph, I know I may take
you tell
some
me
heat
anything.
For asking this question.
What?
But you take a risk when you decide to build a home in Malibu, no?
Yes, yes, you do.
I mean, you kind of know something like this is going to happen, if not this year, the next year. I mean, it always happens. There's always fires in Malibu.
Right. It is a potential danger when you live in that neighborhood. But here's the thing, and I think you'll find this always to be true. You take the good, you take the bad.
Take
right.
Them both and there you
you
have.
Take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts
okay,
of life.
Well, you put it that way.
I think you can't deny that.
That
I'm
is
not saying
clear.
Please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying they deserve it. I'm not saying I want bad things to happen. But they can't be that surprised. It's not as much of an out of the blue tragedy as it would be if somebody's living in Riverside and all of a sudden there's a big fire. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, they have fires in Malibu. That's kind of the terrain. That's kind of what you expect.
I understand what you're saying. Do you want me to close Malibu? What would you have me do?
They can't be surprised is my only point.
Right. I think we have that.
I think
okay.
we understand that
Noted.
There is a history of fires in the Malibu area.
Noted.
Back
Got
to
it.
You, Ralph.
Got it. Chris Angel is speaking out about his involvement with Britney Spears for her disastrous appearance at the VMAs earlier this year. He tells OK Magazine that they were supposed to work on a memorable routine for the show, but he claims when it came right down to it, Britney wasn't motivated to put in the dedication, work, or effort, he says, to make it happen.
Did he tell her,
don't be a sucker?
He did.
Mm.
He said, if you don't feel it, go do something else. So we have him to thank for the spectacular dance routine, I guess.
She zombied through that quite well.
Couldn't he just make her float or something? How hard did she have to work? Couldn't he come out and put her in a box and turn her into a hedgehog or something or whatever he does on his little show?
Is that what he does?
His little mind freak show? Effing douchebag. By the way, Phenomenon on Wednesday.
Tomorrow night.
TV show. I can't wait to check
that
out.
He's going to find the next new phenomenon.
Is he really?
That's what he says.
No, I don't think so. Donald Trump has announced the lineup for his Celebrity Apprentice TV series.
I see air quotes. What's that about?
Well, some of them don't exactly register on my celebometer.
Okay.
Let's take a look, shall we? I got Marilu Henner.
Nope.
She not only was Elaine Nardo on Taxi, but also played Burt Reynolds' wife on Evening Shade.
Yeah,
does that count?
I don't know.
Not really.
I don't think.
Carol Alt, who was a very popular model back when Rick Dees was just getting into radio. In the late 1930s, I think she used to model one-piece bathing suits.
Yeah.
Stephen Baldwin. Is he the God-fearing one now?
Is he the ugly Baldwin?
He's the one who's cleaned up his act and goes around in the mobile altar preaching?
Is that what he does?
Good times.
I think he might be, yeah.
Good times. Excellent. Well, then that's good.
Tito Ortiz.
Song number three. Listen, Miramax. We have to want to be a sorcerer. Grab your ankles and prepare for Supermax to do the damage. Did you know the song is 5-2-0?
Tito?
1-5-9!
Tito, con permiso, amigo. No está that.
On voice for that.
Omar, why did you do that effed up voice for the intro?
I don't know. It's all the drugs.
It's all the drugs. Okay. Don't do drugs, kids.
Now, who is our first contestant this morning on Name That Creep?
Our first contestant is Nicole. She is from Diamond Bar.
Morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
All right. I'm going to play a clip from a classic Halloween movie. You tell me who the bad guy is, okay?
Okay.
There you go.
The Dream People. The ones that gave me this job. Dreams. I am forever. Too bad you're not.
Nicole, name that creep.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I don't know.
You want to take a guess?
He talks about freaking dreams.
So sorry. No, we were looking for Freddy Krueger was the creep we were looking for right there.
Nice. Because of dreams. Nice. He says dreams a lot.
Yeah.
Blur.
Who do we have next?
Blur. Next up is Frank from Hacienda Heights.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We are good.
Cal, there's a little bit of Tom Likas in your delivery today. I got news for you.
I drank some of his blood last night.
Oh, no kidding.
I see.
Yes. Okay.
There's a lot of that.
He's
right.
A big fat soul.
Frank, you ready for your movie?
I'm ready.
There you go.
Andy, no, please. We're friends to the end. Remember?
This is the end, friend.
Ooh, very creepy. Who's the villain in that piece?
Oh, wow. That was tough. You can't play it again?
Oh. No.
Nope.
That was pretty easy.
Oh, for Frankenstein's sake.
Count, who are we looking for?
Chucky!
Chucky, yeah. All right. Thank you for I'm a little disappointed at our contestants so far.
These are still freaking easy!
Well, I mean, when you're talking about classic Halloween horror movies to win tickets to the Kara Creep Show, Nightmare on Elm Street, Child's Play, pretty good choices there. Who's our next contestant, Count?
Next up is Rachel. She's from Santa Monica!
Hi, Rachel. All right, you ready for your movie?
I'm ready. I knew the last two, so hopefully I'll know this one.
All right, here you go.
Prepare variations using data file Crystal Lake 1980. Initiate.
Hey, you want a beer?
Or do you want to smoke some pot?
Or we can have premarital sex.
He's done with the campers.
Wow, he's good.
He's too good. He's coming back.
That's a bad, bad movie. All right, who's the creep? Name that creep, Rachel.
Oh, you knew the first two. You don't know this one?
I knew the first two. I don't know this one.
Oh. He's done with the campers.
Something about camping.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Who kills campers?
Is it Jason?
Yes.
Yes.
What a stab in the dark that was.
Way to go, Rachel.
All right. You hold on.
That was from Friday the 13th, part 10, by the way.
Yes, that is correct, Count. Yes.
Jason in space.
That's Jason X, and that is one of the worst movies ever.
Let's talk to Nick from Granada Hills.
Good morning, Nick.
Morning.
All right. You ready for your movie clip?
Almost indeed.
Are you on your cell phone?
I am.
Okay.
Oh, crap.
Here we go. Here's your movie.
His own goddamn doctor.
I didn't let him out.
Couldn't have shot him six times.
You think I'm lying, Sheriff?
I think you missed him. No man could take six slugs.
I've told you this isn't a man.
Look, look, get back! Run! Go on, run! Thomas!
Ah! Michael Myers.
Yes!
Well done, Nick.
Halloween 2. All right, you hold on. We're going to do a drawing for people at the end. Who do we have next?
Next up is Melissa from Van Nuys.
Hi, Melissa.
Hey, how are you guys?
We are good. You must be at work.
All right. Let's hear the clip. Name that creep.
You don't know me, but I know you. I want to play a game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
It's Jigsaw.
Yes,
no,
it is.
No, it's Kevin. Kevin. That's the correct answer.
It is Jigsaw, correct. Thank you, Melissa.
That's from Saw, the original Saw, of course. The new one comes into theaters this coming Friday. We just talked to the actor Tobin Bell last hour who plays Jigsaw in the movies. Who's our final contestant? Please count.
Next up is Chris. He's from Tenecula.
Ooh, Tenecula. Look what you did.
Tedracula.
Chris, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Okay, count.
Really? Unbelievable.
All right, here's your movie. Tell us who the creep is.
It's just a puzzle box!
Oh, no. It is a means to summon us.
Who are you?
Explorers in the further regions of experience. Demons to some. Angels to others.
Dude, very scary. Name that creep.
Oh, wow. Oh, shoot.
Name that creep. Not a lot of bad guys in Halloween movies that we haven't spoken of yet.
Yeah.
The puzzle box is the clue.
Who would that be?
The puzzle box.
He's got nothing.
No, he's not going to get that.
Count, who were we looking for that time?
Pinhead from Hellraiser.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so it looks to me like we got three in the drawing for the tickets for the K-Rock Creep Show. It's going to be Rachel, Nick, and Melissa. While Lisa May makes the drawing, let me remind you, if you're going to our party or any party, check out Glendale Costumes, 746 West Durand Street, just off the 134 freeway in Glendale. That's where we use. They are fantastic. 818-244-1161. Who's our winner?
Melissa in Van Nuys.
The last person we talked to, Melissa. Congratulations.
Thank you guys so much.
You're
That's
gonna go
awesome.
K-Rock Creep Show this Saturday night. Thank you, Count.
Blah!
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
Potty mouth.
Oh, they didn't hear that.
Oh.
I didn't have the mic up quite yet. Otherwise,
they're going to hear this.
It's time for your phone calls, people.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Here it goes. You call now, get on the air, and win dinner or lunch for two from Subway. Then you can be thin like that Jared guy, along with a pair of tickets to the NHRA Finals. The final race of the NHRA Drag Racing Series is taking place November 1st through the 4th at the Auto Club Raceway in Pomona. Pomona.
Nice. Adding your own echo.
Wow, sweet.
Let's start with Steve in Santa Monica. Good morning, Steve.
Where?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Steve?
Hello. Yeah, I have a pretty funny story. So, my friend Matt lived up in Lake Arrowhead until, his house burned down.
Oh, that is funny. Is so wow, funny. There's nothing funnier than that.
That's pretty funny. And so I called him. I'm like, hey, dude, I'm really sorry. I hope everything's, gonna be okay. And the first thing he says is, damn it, my CDs and my Red Hot Chili Peppers poster burned up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, well, I would think that's not the most important thing, but I guess to him it really was.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not all the valuable pictures of the family.
Doesn't care about any of the family stuff. Just,
just the CDs and the poster. I mean, I guess that's it.
The good news is if he's a Peppers fan, he doesn't need the CDs. He can just listen to our show every morning because we play every Red Hot Chili Pepper song ever recorded.
By the way, you can also rebuy CDs and a poster. It's not like none of that stuff is available anymore.
Yeah.
Like family stuff.
I think he was stoned or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
that's possible. Hey, how much, thank you for the call. How much warning do you get generally in a situation like this with the fires? I mean, you can pack up the stuff you can't replace and take it away, can't you?
I would think
for
the most
part.
I mean, it does change quickly, but I would think.
It kind of depends because in Orange County, they were waking people up in the middle of the night last night to get out. Just depends, I think.
Well, you got to monitor the situation if you know there's a
fire. Sometimes
the
fire changes direction all of a sudden.
Let's go to Jose in Sun Valley. Good morning, Jose.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing? What's up, Lisa, man?
Hey, Jose.
Hey, I'm calling to see if you guys have seen the transforming case for the Optimus Prime DVD case.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I mean, a lot of people are out there buying the regular case, and then you get this 14 to 16-inch tall transforming DVD case.
I don't think I think I got the uncool one then.
Yeah, there are a lot of different versions of the movie out, and I guess there's one that comes with a little Optimus Prime guy. So
no, the
that's
case turns into Optimus Prime.
Yeah,
yeah, cool.
But not all of them. Not all the editions of it, though.
No, just the cool one.
I don't think mine.
One that Kevin didn't get.
I don't have the cool
one. Yeah, he's not cool.
Anthony in Baldwin Park. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. What to do, guys?
What to do?
What to do, Lisa May? How you doing?
I'm good, Anthony.
I just want to say Heroes last night was awesome, but I got to tell you, the only way it could have gone better was if Kristen Bell and Hayden Panettiere had worn offsetting Raiders jerseys and just gone at it in a massive pillow fight.
They had both worn Raiders jerseys
and fought
each other with pillows.
Here's a fantasy.
I'm talking complete with blue sparks and like regrowing pinky toes and everything.
Yeah.
Now, awesome. Hayden was not on last night, right? There was no cheerleader part of the story last night, right?
Nope. Nope.
Okay,
no,
so there. But we have seen screen captures of future episodes where they look like they're very close friends.
Oh, I can't wait.
I think they need to fall in love if they know what's good for them.
Yeah, last night's episode was great.
Thank you for the call.
A little heavy on the Parkman, but, you know, other than that.
Well, but he got feedback from his dad's mind. He tried to read each other's mind. They almost exploded.
Trust me, I was all about it. But I need more hotness than I do Parkman. By the way, wasn't Greg on some Weight Watchers program or something?
Was
yeah, he was.
I don't think it took.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Erica in Garden Grove.
Hey, what a do, nephew?
What a do?
Hey.
What a do? What a do, baby boo?
Hi, Erica.
Hi.
Hey, first of all, I wanted to call and say thank you for talking to Dave Gahan. I'm a Depeche Mode fan.
Excellent. His CD comes out today.
I know. I'm going to go get it.
Okay.
And second, I was calling if you guys knew what was going up with the fires, if they were actually started. I keep hearing things that people are actually starting them on purpose for the firefighters to make their bonuses and...
Oh, so well,
I don't know. No,
I don't think it's true, but...
I heard that some of them were started by arson, but you're suggesting that the fire department's lighting them. That seems ridiculous.
That's sad, isn't it?
Well, it's not happening.
It's not
true. It's not true, so it's not sad.
I heard this everywhere, and I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
Those people watch too many copies of Backdraft. They saw that movie too many times. That was the plot of that one, I think.
Thank you, Erica. Oh, that's right. The cop actually set the fire.
It was De Niro, actually. It was the guy who was the investigator, the arson investigator, actually setting the fire.
That's right.
But I think good advice for Kevin and me listeners today would be not to start any fires, right? I think we can all agree on that.
Sure.
I think the firefighters have really enough on their hands today without your assistance.
And if you see someone starting a fire, shoot them on sight.
Yeah.
Yep. I have no problem with that.
That's my suggestion.
I want to thank all of our many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including the great Dave Gahan for joining us. As Kevin mentioned, the new solo CD, his second, is called Hourglass. That's available everywhere today. Also, thanks to actor Tobin Bell for joining us. He is the star. He's Jigsaw, don't you know, from
Jigsaw.
Saw 4.
Jigsaw, I'm not familiar with that character. What does
Come
that character
on.
Sound the like sound. In the Saw movies? You can refresh my memory.
You want to play a game?
It's like being right there in the theater.
It's a gift. You have a gift.
I know.
And I want to mention this again because it's so cool with Halloween just around the corner. If you want to see all four Saw movies in a row, including the brand new one, all for the price of one admission ticket, several of the AMC theaters are going to be doing that this Thursday starting at 6 p.m. Go to amctheaters.com. And thanks to Sheikh Yasser Fazaga for joining us. He is the religious director of the Orange County Islamic Foundation. It sounds like I'm making that up, but we really had him on as a guest today, and he was here for Ask a Muslim, and that was a lot of fun. So thanks to the Sheikh for joining us.
That was very, very different than Ask a Whore. A very different segment.
Yeah.
Completely the opposite.
Yes.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, Tara Patrick will be here.
Wow!
Now, Second Mike, you want us to bring a bucket into the studio? That's what you're suggesting?
I'm saying there is not a bucket big enough.
All right.
Oh,
enough of that.
For your appreciation that you have for Tara Patrick.
Okay.
It would not
all
be
right.
A small bucket.
Don't need
the fans of small buckets would not be happy with the bucket you would need.
The fans of small buckets?
Are there fans of small buckets?
Well, small bucket aficionados?
Not petite.
Small bucket enthusiasts?
Grande.
Wouldn't a small bucket really just be a pail? I mean, barely would even call it a bucket, I think, at that point.
Also, tomorrow, wedding proposals gone wrong.
How about a vat? Would a vat?
Giant vat. Overseas schooner, perhaps.
Laquisha will be on tomorrow morning's show. A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila.
Horse trough.
We have an intervention to make with our man Psycho Mike on his storytelling abilities.
Oh, my God. Finally.
So that's going
to
happen.
Needs to be done.
Would he get Spalding Gray to come in and teach him how to tell a story?
Spalding Rare Spalding Gray reference, ladies and gentlemen.
I was going to go with Mark Twain, so be happy I updated it to Spalding Gray.
The only way I knew who Spalding Gray was because Homer said that one time on The Simpsons.
He's a famous monologist.
Man, yes. He killed himself.
What?
Now dead.
He's dead? Yeah.
I didn't know he was sick.
Maybe we could get...
you know? All right.
Yeah. Maybe he's got more to teach Psycho Mike than we thought.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Huge bucket.
Cap Corbett is coming up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Speaking of Serge Tankian, who's headlining the K-Rock Creep Show, Kat has more tickets for that, and she'll be playing Empty Walls, his latest from his solo album, also in stores today. Feist's 1-2-3-4 on the way, Green Day, White Stripes, Foo Fighters, and more, all right after this on KRQ-FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles.